The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey, welcome to the Dave Elswick Show on Friday, May 24th. It is 2 p.m. We're just starting the show today. We're going till 6. Got a great show today. No, Dave hasn't been huffing helium, and he doesn't have a cold or anything like that. This is Shane Sachs setting in for Dave. Always appreciate the opportunity. He always says he's like taking time off or something like that, but I always know the Friday before Memorial Day, he's gotten into his Super Dave Elswick costume. He grabbed his Captain America shield, and he's off punching bad guys in the jaw somewhere on a super secret superhero mission. So and the bus he took literally is spewing red, white, and blue exhaust. So that's where Dave's at. Is he back? What's the schedule Monday, Zach? Is it what's going on Monday?
It'll be a holiday.
It'll be like pre-recorded stuff, yeah. And Memorial Day content. Okay, great. And we'll probably later in the day get into some Memorial Day trivia. I guess hosted last Memorial Day. It was a lot of fun. And I gave out some Memorial Day history and trivia, so I'll probably do that again. Let me give you a quick rundown of the show today, and then we'll dig right in because we have three great guests waiting right now. To talk and update us on Maumel politics. I'll introduce them here in one moment. So today we've got from 2 to 3, we're going to be talking Maumel politics. And then from 4:30 to 5, Jane Ginn from the North Little Rock City Council is going to come in and update us not only on North Little Rock politics, but now that she's been in office for not quite half a year, I'm curious to hear her thoughts on how that's been going. And then from 5 to 6, it's just going to be, well, you know, Dave likes to do Fun Friday, so we're just going to have fun. And got Mark Pellegrini, local comic book writer, Mark Pellegrini coming in. He's a veritable walking fount of pop culture trivia and fun. So Mark will be coming in, and we're going to be talking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and other stuff, new movies coming out, horror movies, cult classic movies. But before all that, for the next hour, I have three. Count them three. I have a trifecta. I have a trifecta of alderpersons. What's the technical term now?
It's council person.
Council person. Okay, so I have three council persons from the great city of Maumel, in no particular order, just starting right to left. I've got Michael Tierney.
Hi.
Hey, Michael. Welcome back to the show. You're no stranger to the Dave Elswick Show.
Thanks for inviting me back.
Or my show on Saturday.
Oh,
Shane
yeah.
plays Geek Talk, so that's when we get to geek out. Got council person Chad Gardner.
Thank you, sir.
And council person, I'm wanting to say Carrie.
Terry with a T.
Terry with a T.
And Williams.
Terry Williams. I'm going to write that down so I don't get it wrong. And there's several things we can talk about for, you know, Maumel politics. But what I want to do before we get into that, and I'm going to go left to right now, starting with Terry, what's your ward, the area you represent, how long have you been in office? So go ahead and start us off, Terry, with that.
Well, I think if I were on the council for 100 years, I'd still feel like a beginner. Yeah. I've been there about 3.
Okay.
Yes, I'm in Ward 3 in Maumel, position 1.
Now, what part of... Because a lot of people don't think in terms of wards.
Yeah, so mine is middle of the city. I take in Lake Valencia, Lake Willistine.
You do have Lake Willistine. Mm-hmm. I caught the last bass I caught was at Willistine. So you're obviously responsible for that.
Oh,
thank
I am.
You.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you
you're
for
welcome.
That.
I make sure it's well stocked.
Yeah, so yeah, it surprised me because I was just casting. I never catch bass, and all of a sudden my line went
it's
wild.
It's so beautiful out there, don't you think?
Yeah. Now, which does Willistine or. I used to. I'm going to start doing it again with my son, but Arkansas Game and Fish used to stock a lot of local community ponds with trout over the winter Are any of the community ponds in
They're all well, they're very well stocked.
That's real fun to go catch a trout.
We have quite a few fishing competitions and things that go on out there. So yeah, you need to get hooked up out there.
All right,
So I see what you did there.
Yeah, I was fishing for that actually.
I've fished out there. I don't think it was Valencia. No, it wasn't Willistine. It must have been Valencia, where you can literally like leave the Maumelle Library.
That's
and
right.
Walk
well,
out
you
and,
can yeah. you can yeah. check out a fishing pole at the
Maumelle. Oh, that's
Maumelle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you need a license?
Yeah, you probably do.
You need a fishing license.
Yeah. I thought we should put that out. Yeah,
yeah, it helps. Okay, so so that's your Ward 4,
Ward 3,
Ward 3, mm-hmm. position 1, mm-hmm. because most city councils, I guess all city councils in Arkansas, I would imagine. You have two council persons per ward, mm-hmm. and it overlaps. Mm-hmm. So you've always got 2 years of experience in there, no matter what, right?
And so, there are eight of us. We have four wards.
Okay. How about you, Chad Gardner?
So I'm in Ward 2, which is basically the western side of Maumelle. Like Councilmember Williams and Tierney, they've got some commercial aspect to their wards. I am all houses. If you live in Maumelle, I am all houses on the western side. So, and I'm just like Tierney here. I just was voted in this past year. So we've been on the council now for 4 months, I guess.
Brand new.
So 5 months. We're in May. Yeah, almost 5 months. So, so that's what.
Babies.
It took me.
Still drying our feet.
Yeah, whippersnappers. It took me a few years to realize that to really be effective in office, the stuff that gets you elected isn't necessarily what's effective in office. You've got to learn to learn the process.
Right.
You got to learn to build consensus. You know, I used to get when I was on the quorum court, man, you're great because I'd yell and oppose. But if it doesn't change consensus, if it doesn't change anything, you know, so there is some diplomacy and bean counting. A lot of your jobs is making sure that resources are spent right. So, All right. And how about you, Michael? Why don't you remind us what ward you represent and what part of the
city? I am also Ward 3, position 2. Terry and I share the same ward, which is the beating heart of Maumelle, right in the center. And as Chad had pointed out, it's where all the commercial is. And, you have a mix of both residential and commercial.
Okay, so.
And the lakes, too.
And the lakes.
So we get all of the stuff.
Got it all right there. So now, since you're both in the same ward, and you're the senior member of the ward, do y'all have like secret dojo practice where he's wearing a white belt and he has to bow before he comes into the dojo?
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody bows before Terry.
Yeah. And then he wax on, wax off.
The whole thing.
And he says, hey, he sees a big tree and he sees a picture of somebody chopping a big log. And he says, have you ever done that? And he said, I don't know. I've never been attacked by a tree. You remember that from Karate Kid 2? Anyway, I'm going to move us on. So let's get down to brass tacks.
Trees are an issue out there in Maumelle, though.
There's a tree issue right now.
You didn't realize it. Yeah, you're hitting on target.
All right. So what I'd like to do, we've got we'll get to a break here in a couple of minutes. In fact, I'll probably go ahead and get us to a break and set us up so that when we come back from break, we'll be ready to go. Folks, I want to let you know that phone number is 501-823-0965. That's 501-823-0965. So if this is one of your council persons, or if you live in Maumelle, or if anything that's going on in Maumelle, you know, the borders do touch other cities. Sometimes, you know, there's issues that cross borders. Feel free to call in at 501-823-0965. After the break, I'm going to get us to a break. When we get back, there's several issues we can talk about. But the issue I want to start us on, and I have purposefully not researched it. I'm going in fresh on this just to listen with fresh ears. Is there's an issue involving vicious dog discussion, dog ordinances in Maumelle, and evidently it's gotten quite passionate, as can happen when animals are involved. So we have the two co-sponsors in the room. So when we come back from break, we'll let them explain what's going on, talk about it a little bit, and feel free to call in respectfully if you disagree, or even if you agree, feel free to call in with questions or comments on this issue at 501-823-0965. And we'll be back on the Dave Elswick Show after this break on 101.1 FM, The Answer. Hey, welcome back to the Dave Elswick Show. It is 2:19 in the Metroplex. We've blasted the engines. We are now in the orbiting HQ, hovering over Little Rock. So what happens after, guys, I don't know if anybody told you this, but once we blast off and we're hovering all around over Little Rock, in order to get down, you have to parachute. And when we pick up new guests, we have to skyhook them. So we have to tell them to stand on.
Oh, this sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, we tell them to stand on top of Park Plaza Mall, and they put a special harness on, and we just fly by and skyhook them right up into the orbiting HQ.
So are we still doing the turkey drop?
No, that was I wanted to, but they produced some historical document. I guess there was some radio station, WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
They had a tragedy, so unfortunately, we had to.
Like one went through a windshield of a car.
Yeah. As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Okay. That was hilarious.
Yeah, classic moment. Okay, so we're joined, if you're just now joining us following the break, we have three Maumelle council persons. We have Terry, Chad, and Michael. I'm on first name basis with them, by goodness, because I didn't have to vote for them. So I don't even know what that means. But all right, Maumelle has an important discussion going on right now, and it involves animals. And any time that happens, passions can run high on all sides. So I have two co-sponsors of some. Is it? On the city level, is it an ordinance?
It's an ordinance.
Right. Involving vicious dogs.
Right.
And as I said before the break, Michael told me that there was a big discussion going on, but because I just wanted to listen with fresh ears, I know nothing about. All I know is that it's passionate debate.
Yeah, this is an ordinance to repeal an ordinance.
Right.
Okay. That's interesting. So I want both co-sponsors, because there's people that sometimes join during the break. Reintroduce yourself. And tell us about, and starting with Terry, reintroduce yourself and tell us about this ordinance.
Well, this ordinance that is that I was reminded of has been in place for 33 years that we have now, bans one specific breed, and that's pit bulls.
Okay.
And the reason I got involved in this and wanted to co-sponsor this is I knew there were people who were wanting to move to Maumelle, who wanted to buy homes and relocate to Maumelle, and were not allowed to because they couldn't bring their animals. And I have not always been a dog lover, but I have a dog that I adopted from the Little Rock Animal Village that kind of just moved in and took over. I love this dog. And I was thinking, you know, if this dog was a pit bull, which she's not, but if somebody were to come and tell me that I was violating city law by having a specific kind of dog, I think that would rattle me some. Mm-hmm. So I started out of compassion and sympathy for these people who love their dogs and love their animals and love Maumelle. And Maumelle is a place to love. I mean, it's beautiful. We take care of it. It's safe. We want to keep it that way.
It's a great community.
It is a great community. And I just felt I wanted to get involved with repealing this old law it's just one specific breed of dog. Now, we all know
four. We actually banned the American Bulldog as well.
Oh, well, yeah, but they're all lumped into the pit bull category.
Right. They look a certain way.
Yeah.
And that's basically the way our ordinance reads. If a dog looks a certain way, then they could not be allowed in Maumelle.
So, right, yeah. Right, which is ridiculous.
Okay, hold on. Now I've got to jump in. And now I'm gonna put my analytical hat on, as if I was sitting on the council and having to think about this. Did I just hear that this ordinance isn't based on DNA or genetic evidence, but purely what somebody thinks looking at an animal?
It's very subjective, and that's part of the problem.
Who makes the call? Does the dog, the animal control, make the call? Who makes this call?
Yeah, ultimately, each city makes their own call. And so we could look at a dog in Maumelle and say, okay, you look fine for Maumelle, but if you go to North Little Rock, North Little Rock Animal Services could make a completely different judgment on that dog. You could go to Conway. They can make a completely different judgment. Well, actually, I don't think Conway has any specific breeds that aren't allowed. So that's part of the problem with it, is that it's completely subjective as to whoever's making the decision on what a dog looks like.
And whether I agree with an ordinance or not, I personally am extremely uncomfortable with an ordinance or any sort of law or policy that is subjective.
Right.
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 I mean, it's you know, make it, hey, we'll get a DNA test to show what breed this dog is or something, but don't just say it's to somebody. Because It can be up to whoever's in power at that time. And you could have whoever's making the decision, they could see a poodle and go, nope, I'm pretty sure that's got some pit bull. You can't move here.
Well, that's basically, that's exactly what, right. That's exactly how it is.
And I that's mean, not, you got to
I mean, my dog
it.
Is a terrier mix, and that's all I was told, that she's a terrier mix. She weighs 40 pounds. She does not have a square head. She doesn't have a broad chest, but she does have a patch on her chest. Which, you know, some people will look at her and say, oh, she's got some pit bull in her.
Well, so is that a common marking of a pit bull, a patch
on
the chest?
Well, when you Google pictures of pit bulls, they have a patch on a lot of them do.
Have a patch on the chest. Yeah. But you could have a dog because mutts get all kinds of crazy color.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got lab mixes. You've got that might have some marking of a pit bull.
And that's part of the problem is that there's a very
And by the way, this is Chad Gardner. He's the other co-sponsor. And then Terry, was your
Williams.
Williams, who the Ward 3 and Ward 2 are the co-sponsors. And all the co-sponsor is that means that you both decided we'll put our name on this and put it in front of the council.
Exactly.
But it's up to all of the council members to vote
on it. Eight will vote on it. That's
all eight will vote on it.
Yeah, the rest of us, we're listening to what the citizens of Maumelle are telling us. Don't pay a whole lot of stock for the people from out of the state who are trying to hit us with vitriol and sensationalism. Yeah. We're just wanting to do what is right for the community.
Okay, so and a sponsorship is a weird deal. I've actually sponsored stuff just because somebody threw an idea out there. And nobody wanted to put their name behind it. And I'm like, I don't even know how I feel about this, but it deserves to be discussed. I'll sponsor it to get it out there. So it doesn't necessarily mean if you're a sponsor that you're foaming at the mouth about the issue.
Right.
But it might mean you are. You know, it might be your local, you know, it might be your passionate crusade. You know,
well, you have an interest in it.
Right.
It's something that I felt passionately about it. I know Chad's done a whole lot of research on it, probably way more than just your average citizen. Mm-hmm. So there's probably nothing you can ask him.
Bring it, Shane. What
Bring
you got?
It. Yeah.
Why do you hate the people of Maumelle, Chad?
Oh, well, it's all, you know.
Don't you love it how it can be twisted?
Right. So one of the biggest complaints actually has been.
But that is very good. I mean, we've heard that too.
Yeah.
Why
public
do you hate
safety. Public safety has been the big, the outcry against it, actually. Why would you allow these dogs to already, you know, to come into Maumelle?
Right.
And what we tell them is Conway already has pit bull terrier type dogs.
Right.
Little Rock allows them. Cabot just repealed and replaced their ordinance. They allow them. So there's a lot of other cities that are doing this. Actually, now, one of the things that's interesting, 23 states now have made it illegal to label breeds like Maumelle does. So if we were in one of those states that now has made this illegal, the current ordinance in Maumelle would be outlawed. So,
all right. I've got to get us a break here in a couple of minutes, but help me understand. What do they mean by labeling a breed? Like, I'm not allowed to say that's a dachshund?
So what Maumelle can do, our animal services, if a dog has acted viciously, then we can label a specific dog. However, Maumelle takes it a step further, and we go ahead and label four different breeds, three terriers, and then the patriotic American bulldog. We've banned them as well. So we've already labeled four dogs as not able to come into Maumelle. So what these states have done, they have said you can't label a specific breed and not allow them in your community. So 23 states have signed off on that. Arkansas is not one of them. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's deemed discrimination.
Exactly.
Point,
And that goes back to our earlier conversation. It's very subjective, and that's why these states are overturning it, because anybody could look at that dog and make a different determination based on where you are. So, but
at the same time, we can say you're not allowed to have a cougar, right?
As long as there's a patch over his eye, that's okay. If it's on his chest, you've got to be a pirate.
So, I mean, you can discriminate if you think an animal is dangerous, or a breed or a species. Now, I know a breed of dog is different from a whole species.
Well, and there's a whole separate conversation we can get to in the next half hour on
exotic
that.
Animals.
Yeah.
And exotics. Okay, so, folks, I want to hear from you on this. Do you live in Maumelle? And if you don't live in Maumelle, your opinion, I would like to hear it, but I'd love to hear from people in Maumelle who would be affected for good or ill, in their opinion, by this. It's 501-823-0965. We're going to continue talking when we get back. I'm going to let Michael get a look. Now that the two sponsors have explained a little bit more about the ordinance, I'm going to let Michael jump in a little bit after the break. But we're talking about overturning A ban. When is the suffer vote?
June 3rd.
Okay. So fairly soon, a vote on repealing a 33-year-old ordinance against four breeds of supposedly vicious dogs, including pit bulls. When we come back on the Dave Elswick Show. I got to do it, Zach. I am not Dave Elswick, but I hope the talk is stimulating anyway. Last time I was in, I was like, where did that? I don't know. I just kept riffing on it. What do you think, Zach? You haven't said anything the whole show. Are you stimulated?
Yeah, with our guest host, Batman.
Yeah. I'm not the one. Yeah, I'm Batman. Okay, anyway, you got to say something, Zach, now. You got to say something.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. All right, and you're not going to be bantering on tomorrow's Shame Play show because it's pre-recorded, but the next week, people can get their last Survivor Westeros update.
Oh, okay.
That's what we've been calling the Game of Thrones update, is Survivor Westeros. Okay, so joined by Maumelle City Councilpersons Terry Williams, Chad Gardner, and Michael Tierney. Now, Terry and Chad are co-sponsors on an ordinance that, you know, it's in a lot of ways it makes sense. But people are, when you get animals involved, it can get passionate. So if you're out there listening, if you have an opinion, either for or against, or just a whole different way of looking at it that you're not hearing us talk about, love to hear from you at 501-823-0965. That's 501-823-0965. We don't bite, and neither do the dogs we're talking about. You like that segue?
Nice segue.
It just occurred to me. But if one of those dogs does bite, I you can't hold it against me because it was just a segue. I'm not making a scientific fact. So there was an ordinance on the books for 33 years ago in Maumelle that says basically pit bulls aren't allowed. Which on the first would be like, oh, okay, you know, because the common belief is that pit bulls are vicious and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of stuff that you think you know a lot of times doesn't hold up when you research.
Right.
And then you're like, oh wow, I didn't realize this. So I found out over the break, I didn't even know this. Chad informed me there's no actual breed called pit bull. It is a slang term in the vernacular, if you will, of bulldogs, a bulldog that somebody would put into a dog fight, a pit, if you will, pit fighting. So it's a pit bull. So Chad, again, what are the four breeds that are currently banned in Maumelle?
So there are three breeds of terrier. One is the American Pit Bull Terrier. One is the Staffordshire Terrier. And then there's a terrier I can't remember. And the American Bulldog is currently banned.
And I've never heard of just a bulldog being a problem. Is that, I mean, am I missing something here? Or
so my,
because the only thing I know about bulldogs is that dog on the old Looney Tunes that he'd walk around and the little dog would be like, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do today? What do you want to do today? Ah, shut up. That's all I know about bulldogs. So are bulldogs in and of themselves
considered? So my guess, I'm not sure of the history on this, but when we first banned it back in 86, there were three terriers that were banned. And then the American Bulldog was added later. And my guess is somebody probably got bit by an American Bulldog at some point. And they just said, hey, let's add the American Bulldog, which is kind of funny. Well, that's not funny. But last year we had an English Bulldog bite somebody or an animal in Maumelle, which those are perfectly fine. So you can have the English Bulldogs, just not the American Bulldog.
Well, and that's where legislation sometimes, even with good intentions, it doesn't have common sense to it. So so most quote-unquote Bulldogs are actually Terriers, I guess, which that's new to me. So here's some things like I want to point out with this ordinance, folks. Again, 501-823-0965. If you have an opinion on this, or if you own a quote unquote pit bull, or if you've had a quote unquote pit bull that you've had problems with, I want to hear. I like facts. So even if these four breeds of dogs were a problem. And any three of you, I'm going to ask a question and then hold your powder and I'll get the answer here in a second. Has anyone tracked dog attack statistics in Maumelle since this ordinance was passed to see if they've gone down?
Not that I'm aware of.
Right. Yeah, I mean, not that I'm aware of.
So this legislation may or may not be good, but where is the data? That's what I always say.
So
where
let me tell you how it's been nationally. Since the 70s and 80s, dog bites as a nation have gone down 80 to 90% because of all the strong leash laws that we passed. And that's another piece to what Maumel is doing, is that we're making it easier for our animal control officers to go out and deal with specific individual dogs that have acted badly, and we can label them vicious, but we don't want to label an entire breed vicious.
Well, so you're holding owners more responsible.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what we need to do.
So it's not, and I want to, Michael, I want you to tell me, because you haven't had much chance to give input on this yet. Before we finish this discussion, I'm going to bring it back over to Terry, because she was saying off the air, like, look, we're not, there's still public safety. We take it very seriously. Here's what we're doing for public safety. And for example, it's not that this legislation is necessarily awful, but would just having leash laws and you bite twice and you're out of the city kind of laws be better than just a outright ban on? And I have big problems with the pit bulls being identified by somebody just looking and saying this is a pit bull, because that could be abused.
Right.
Or somebody just is ignorant and doesn't know.
Right.
Ignorance and stupidity are not the same thing. Right. A very smart person who just doesn't know. But Michael, what are your thoughts on all this?
Well, this is something actually I've paid attention to since I was very young. I actually was attacked by a dog as a child. It was a case where you had a bad owner, and that's really where the core of the problem comes from, where every time kids would walk past his house on the street, he'd be taking his dog out on a leash saying, sick him. And, well, I was the second child that the dog got away from him and got a hold of. Mm. And so that was a case where it really was not the dog's fault, which was a German Shepherd, by the way. And, another time I actually had a pit bull charge at me, but that was a case where I had some neighbors who had a friend over, and they just decided, that they had been training to be vicious and decided they were just going to let it run loose. Comes up underneath the my fence, takes one look at me sitting on my diving board, does not realize that the solar cover on my pool is not a solid surface. Bam, he's in the water. I let him get a couple of drinks, and by the time I'm pulling him out of the water, that dog had no fight left in him.
Like, I'm
He had his tail between his legs. I boot him underneath the fence, and you could hear them cussing me out, like, what did he do to our dog? And they're like, hey, look what he did to your dog. Just leave him be. And
don't mess with him. You were the dangerous breed.
Exactly, yeah. But the whole thing is, since I was a child, I've watched this, and I remember when German Shepherds were considered to be the dangerous breed. Rottweilers changed up with that. I mean, it's gone from dog breed to dog breed. Whatever is the most recent thing that has been in high profile, that is what people is focused on. To me, it goes all the way back to the first of all. Actually, in both cases, bad owners, people who think it's funny, train the dog to be mean. Let's go see him scare somebody. And that's where I'd like to see the emphasis placed.
Well, and we'll go to a break here in a couple of minutes. When we come back from break, I'm going to open with Terry. I want to let her to address public safety, because people are coming along and say, you don't care about public safety, and I want to give the chance for that to be addressed. The only dog breed that I know of that I agree with saying this is definitely can be a problem is not all Doberman Pinschers. Okay, hear me well, people. Not all Doberman Pinschers have this problem, but they are a crossbred dog that was bred for a specific purpose. And in some cases, every now and then, a Doberman Pinscher's skull will stop growing, but its brain will continue to grow. And it can cause it to go crazy.
I think that's one of the bad breeds that was bad.
Yeah, and go vicious. But that does not mean that every Doberman Pinscher is bad and should be banned and all that. I wonder scientifically, okay, let's just play devil's advocate. In the 80s and 90s, let's say there were a lot of pit bull attacks. I wonder if that's because a lot of pit bulls were being used in dogfighting at that time.
Really,
so you had a higher incidence of dogs that were trained to be aggressive. And I'm not saying that any dog has the potential to be aggressive. Any dog can, out of the blue, suddenly attack a child or something like that. But most ordinances and legislation are based on the general, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the one specific instance, but the widespread, right? So you rarely are going to pass an ordinance over one thing happening, right? So I wonder if even, like, maybe just to play advocate, when those were passed, there was data. We have a much higher incidence of attacks from dogs that are called pit bulls. But these days, maybe it's not as high. I don't know.
Well, I think one of the misconceptions is that these dogs were bred to be vicious when they're just actually being trained to be vicious.
Right. And so it's just bred and trained, two different things.
It is bred and trained are two different things. And they were actually bred early on to be, they were called nanny dogs, and because they were so calm and patient with children. So and then, you know, people basing looking at this athletic big chunky dog decided that this dog would be a good fighter.
Well, I mean, I have heard, I've heard passionate on both sides. I've heard people say, I've seen these dogs go crazy and you know, savage kids. I've heard other dogs say, I've had a lot of pit bulls and they've been nothing but the sweetest dog in the world. So I don't know.
I think it's ownership.
Yeah,
I think
it's the history responsible. Of the dog.
Yeah. But, I mean, you could take any, you could take a little wiener dog and make them a junkyard dog and they're going to be vicious.
Hey, chihuahuas, right? They want to kill you. No. They just can't.
They just can't.
They can't.
Poor little teeth can't even pierce skin.
But that's the problem with banning certain breeds is that if a certain dog is not allowed, then they just shift. They just change to a different breed.
Yeah, so. That's what I've seen happen over the decades. Yeah.
Right.
I've watched it happen. Paying attention to it.
I'm going to get this break. When I get back, I want to address public safety. If I lived in Montmel and I came to one of these meetings, here would be the questions I had. I would say...
yes, no, no, yes.
Yes, no, yes, and maybe. And that'll cost 50 cents an hour. So I would say, okay, if you repeal this, are you putting something else in its place? For example, a leash law, or, you know, put in an ordinance that if a dog viciously attacks somebody, then that animal is banned or something like that. You know, if that's not already on the books, or is it just we're getting rid of it? And so I really, you know, I want everybody to chime in, but I really want Terry, because addressing the public safety issue seems to be of particular importance on your mind. So I want to give you a chance to talk about that. But we'll be back here on the Dave Elswick Show. We're talking with Maumelle City Council members Terry Williams, Chad Gardner, and Michael Tierney. Specifically, there is a discussion going on. And guys, I'm open after the 3 o'clock hour. If any of you want to stay and talk about other Maumelle issues, you're welcome to. I don't know what you have going on, but
well public safety is always a concern.
Yeah, public safety.
People say it isn't, but because they're not getting their way on something. But that's something that we're always focused on, improving our community and protecting the community,
right.
And trying to make it easier to get in and out of our community.
I know that's the traffic.
Safer on the roads,
But when we come back from break, we'll wrap up the vicious dog discussion. And then if any of these fine council persons can stay after the 3 o'clock hour, they're welcome to. And maybe we can get into some other Maumelle issues or Central Arkansas issues. But stay tuned right here on the Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 FM, The Answer. I'm back on Dave Elswick, 101.1 FM, The Answer. Who is that? Is that somebody that Salem hired, Zach? Who is that? The guy doing the breathless stuff. Really? I like him. He's got a good breathless style. I like him.
Doesn't he sell the Stairmasters or something?
He's on a Stairmaster. Yeah. He's doing Dave Elswick. 101. No, I like it. I'm not making fun of it. I like it. Okay. Lonnie Perkins. Thank you, Lonnie. Okay, so for the next 9 minutes, we're going to wrap up the first part of our discussion with our three Maumelle City Council persons. Thanks so much for coming in, all three of you, on the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. I know a lot of people basically lump in Friday or Friday afternoon as part of the whole weekend. So I know where I work was clearing out. So but anyway, we've been talking. There's a vicious dog ordinance that that two of our guests, Terry Williams and Chad Gardner, have co-sponsored. I guess, you know, it was drafted up and brought to them and they said, yes, we'll sponsor it, co-sponsor it. And it's to overturn vicious dog ordinance in Maumelle that's been on the books for 33 years, not since 1933. And on the first of it, you're like, why would you do that? It's public safety, blah, blah, blah. But when you know, we've talked about several things over the course of this hour that even if pit bulls are can statistically shown to be more dangerous. The way the ordinance is written is kind of loosey-goosey, in my opinion. So I'm sure it had good intentions. Most bad legislation starts with good intentions, hopefully. We'll give them the benefit of a doubt. But this one, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to these three council persons. And so they're wanting to repeal it. There's a vote coming up in early June. Now, when I was on the quorum court, you had to vote it through an agenda meeting, and then you voted in the full quorum court. How does it work on the city council?
It has to be read three times.
Read three times.
Mm-hmm. So June 3rd will be the third reading, and that's when we'll actually vote.
So on each reading, are comments allowed?
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the third opportunity mm-hmm. for discussion and comments
right.
and et cetera. Okay. And Terry brought up earlier, she's like, we're very concerned about public safety, obviously. So what, you know, if somebody came to you and said, you're making our city more dangerous by repealing this, you know, are you going to do anything else, or why are you doing this, or do you care about public? How would you answer?
Well,
that?
I'm very passionate about public safety. My husband is the police chief out in Maumelle, and you know, Sam, I ran on a public safety.
So now
platform.
That I know you, I can do donuts on Maumelle Boulevard, and just...
no, now that you know me, you can't.
Oh,
yeah,
darn it. See,
yeah.
Take all the fun
you
out of it.
You just can't come in the.
You're blowing everybody's perceptions of what it's like to be an elected official. Yeah.
Well, it shouldn't.
We
but,
usually have to live more strict than you
oh,
know.
Yeah,
they think it's this big life of cigars and corruption. But anyway,
well, the thing about it is that the old ordinance is so vague and so subjective, and it doesn't. You know, animal control really doesn't have a whole lot of. I mean, the old ordinance even says that if a dog looks vicious or is potentially vicious, or you know,
that's too vague.
That is very vague.
Yeah.
But with the new ordinance, it's more concrete. A animal control officer. Has,
so let me just clarify. There, you're proposing a new ordinance.
Yes,
it's not a full. It's you're repealing one but replacing one another.
We're striking some of the language that bans certain breeds and then making it easier.
So it's not a full repeal.
No, it's an amendment.
No,
okay,
not a full
you're
repeal.
Amending.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
We're amending
okay.
it. Yeah,
based on the amount of public. Argument, I just assumed, and you know what happens when you assume that it's
no, it's just an
repeal.
Amendment. We're not
yeah.
changing the entire ordinance. Yeah. We're just taking out some language.
Yeah, the repeal is the breed
right,
language.
And we're making it a little bit easier for animal control to do their job. So instead of just, you know, focusing on one specific breed or how a dog actually looks, they can actually, it gives them a little bit more, I hate to say this, I'm going to say it, I'm going to go there. Gives them a little
going,
bit
yeah.
more teeth to oh, their.
There
you go. There you go.
They can bear their canines.
Yeah, and it just gives them a little bit more. I'm losing my words here, but
we'll give animal control more chances. A better way to go after
it gives them
exactly a little bit more power.
Well, because sometimes people don't understand. Like authorities don't necessarily have. The powers that people think they do. Like, police can see something that they disagree with, but if it's not actually against the law,
right.
they don't have any power to do anything about it. They enforce the law, right? So now they have some leeway. They could say public nuisance or something like that.
And here we had a law that just said, if you look funny, well,
you're right. That's yeah. basically what the law says. If I don't like the looks of your dog, you can't.
Exactly.
That's exactly what
that
it
is not there, good. There you go. There
and
you
that,
go.
That is not
circle,
good.
Circles. Yeah.
So, all right. So I, right now at my home genetics lab, I ordered my 5-year-old son your first genetics lab, and we're cooking up a velociraptor. So are there any powers in Maumelle if I set a velociraptor loose to get rid of that velociraptor?
Well, he can't have a patch on his chest.
He can't have a patch
yeah,
on
he
his
can't,
chest.
And, he,
and his
he
ears
can't,
can't flop over. So.
Yeah, they
yeah.
can't flop.
He can't
yeah.
have a square head.
Yeah, he can't
know.
Have a square head.
Yeah.
Do you already have exotic animal?
Exotic, it's in
so
that
it's,
ordinance. Yeah.
Right, okay.
This
yeah.
is completely separate, yeah.
Oh, okay.
yeah. Exotic
right.
animals are treated completely differently.
Okay, so if Michael painted a patch on his chest and ran down Maumelle Boulevard.
And he's got a blocky head, too, right?
And
oh,
and barking at people, you've got an exotic animal ordinance to, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So all this does is it makes it less subjective.
Exactly.
Then we can deal with individual dogs.
And
individual
free.
Dogs and, okay. and their owners and holding their owners more responsible without focusing just on the breed
well,
itself.
To me, that makes sense. Now, if somebody could bring not some goofy conspiracy theory website that's on the dark net, if somebody can bring real data that shows, quote unquote, pit bulls are statistically, you know, three times more aggressive. That's one thing. But if it's just in public's perception, right. But it doesn't
and that's
really
the issue. It is public perception because we've had 33 years now to study it. The Centers for Disease Control has looked at it, and they don't support breed bans.
They said that misperceptions are a disease.
They did not. But the CDC does not support breed bans. They even quit studying it because they said it is so hard to identify what a specific dog is in terms of breed. They said it's usually wrong.
A bunch of mutts.
Yeah. So they don't support it. The largest veterinary association does not support it. And there is no data that says any breed dog is more dangerous.
So let me ask you this, plain advocate again. In good faith, you're doing the best you can, A year from now, you make this change, and then for some reason, there's 8 pit bull attacks. Are you open to going back and looking at it again? Do you understand what I'm saying?
If there are 8 pit bull attacks.
Well, I'm just playing
now, advocate. Now, is this the same pit bull or 8 different pit bulls?
It's 8 different pit bulls. I'm just saying if by some chance.
Oh, I think we would be forced to.
Yeah.
But, you know, the likelihood of that.
We've got 1 minute left, but go ahead.
In 2018, we had 6 Labradors bite. Do we need to ban the lab?
Wow.
Yeah. And we 3 had, German yeah, Shepherds.
And 1 Akita.
So, do we need to ban the lab, the most popular dog in America?
I had a cat named Bonnie that if they based vicious cat ordinances on her, there would be no cat left in America. But I kept her in my house. She was my cat, and I took responsibility for her.
Right.
You know what I mean? But she had fear issues.
Well, you're a good pet owner.
She had fear issues, and she would flip out. So, and then after I put up with all the difficult stuff, I got married and she defected to my wife. Ungrateful feline. Yeah. All right, we're about to go to a break. Any of the council persons that would like will stick around afterwards. Any of y'all that need to leave, thank you so much for coming in. And that was a doggone good segment.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah.
We're coming back. We were sitting here yakking. Having fun, and Zach had to wave at me, dude. You're coming back on air, so if you're watching the Facebook feed, you're about to see me set up straight real quick and lunge for the microphone. So anyway, this is the Dave Elswick Show. We're in the 3 o'clock hour now on Friday, May 24th, which is the Friday before Memorial Day. So a lot of people are already starting their Memorial Day weekend or leaving work early. So if you're making us a part of your day, we appreciate it so much. Dave will be back Tuesday. Monday is lots of very cool Memorial Day programming and et cetera. And later in the show today, maybe even after this next break, I'll have a little bit of a Memorial Day trivia like I did last year. We're going to have from 4:30 to 5, we're going to have North Little Rock City Council person Jane Ginn, and she's going to update us on North Little Rock politics and what it's like now that she's been in office for a few months. I love Jane. She's a hard worker and has gotten in there and is really trying to make a difference. But for the next 30 minutes, they joined us for the first hour. For the next 30 minutes, we're continued to be joined by 3 Maumelle City Council persons. And I guess that's the official nomenclature now, city council persons. So Terry Williams from, I'm going to see if I can get it right, Ward 3.
Right.
Chad Gardner from Ward 2, and then Michael Tierney, also from Ward 3. So
correct.
Both of the representatives of Ward 3 here, and then Chad Gardner is repping Ward 2, and then Ward 1 is here in spirit, my goodness.
So and Ward 4. 4.
Ward 4, and Ward 4. See, I know math. I was testing you.
How'd I do?
Great.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, you did great. Again, I'm Shane Stack, setting in for, but never replacing Mr. Elzik. He's off on a super secret Captain America mission, punching bad people in the face somewhere. So, and as Michael Tierney likes to say, he's fighting tyranny, not Tyranny.
Yeah, I didn't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
he's
not fighting Michael Tierney.
I did not start World War II or none of that stuff.
So my guests were kind enough to stay an extra 30 minutes or so. We spent the first hour talking about the vicious dog discussion. They're not repealing the ordinance. They're changing some language to try to clarify it, make it less subjective, and also give animal control authorities a little bit more. And Terry said she hated to say it, but teeth teeth in dealing with vicious animals. And we also learned that if I genetically recreate a velociraptor, that's out of bounds in Maumelle.
Right.
So there's public safety. There's public safety in Maumelle. So what other? Oh, and if you have any questions for, are we having a fire drill? Hold on a second, folks. We just had a happening. Was that the transmitter?
No, it was just a fire drill.
Okay, fire we drill. Had a quick fire drill, but it only lasted for a second. I've talked about it longer than it actually happened. So,
yeah. Just enough to get everybody woke up.
Yeah, everybody woke up. Yeah, run!
I thought we had our first caller or something.
Yeah.
Is that
That's what happens.
It's
yeah.
The lights flash.
Yeah.
We got a caller.
I'm telling you, I'm shocked that we didn't get any calls on the vicious.
I am too, because it's been a hot topic.
Well, that's a hot topic for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I figured people would call in.
But the Maumelle residents have been overly supportive.
Have they?
Yeah, we've had a lot of support, more support for than against.
Well, anytime during the show today, people, if you want to call, like you can't call in right now, but you want to.
Or if you want to call about other things, like just say how great a job we're doing.
Or, to tell them how amazing they are. Or you can go to the Dan Elswick Show page on Facebook, and the live stream for the show is there, and you can make comments there. But anyway, I'm eating up precious time they stayed for. What other issues are important in any three of you go? What other issues would you like to update your constituents on or get input on?
Well, we're obviously working on the traffic out there. We're about to open up the third entrance.
There's bad traffic in Maumelle.
Oh, yeah, the traffic.
It's because everybody's trying to move there. You know, it's such a great place to live.
Good point. Yeah. Very good point.
Is it true that Maumelle started as a planned community? Like planned everything was totally, and it's like
a bedroom community.
I don't know how do you call it. The utilities.
Everything was mapped out. You know, businesses go here. The park goes here. The industry goes over here. Residential houses over here. It was all planned out ahead of time. And big, nice, huge interstate coming into the city. And that is not doing the job anymore.
Mm.
I live in Maumelle. I work in Little Rock and also in North Little Rock. So believe me, I encounter the traffic that everybody who has to commute every day goes through. And believe me, I feel their pain because there are times it is tough getting in and out of Maumelle.
I've heard that more than once now.
So hopefully this new third entrance will alleviate a lot of that. And we're trying to be proactive and looking ahead and trying to solve problems that we see coming down the road.
Okay.
Coming down the road.
So what
did it again.
Yeah,
took
another bite out of it.
Yeah. I bet you people are tired of the traffic.
But we're rolling on.
All right,
Well, you know, they've always said about Maumelle that we're one road in and one road out.
Yeah.
Now we're about to be two roads in. Two roads out.
So what are, like you said, there's a third entrance and exit from
White Oaks.
We're in the process of constructing it right now.
So when will that be finished, do you think?
November.
In the fall.
Yeah, November. We're telling people the fall.
That's a third major into and out of Maumelle.
Yes.
Right.
Because right now there's just kind of like a straight line through Maumelle that you
up
can
to
either come in and out on. For
you come in on Crystal Hill and you get out on Morgan.
On Morgan, So it's like they used to call them shotgun houses. You could see all the way through.
Now, do you remember there used to be a public restroom on I-40 between Mayflower and North Little Rock that they closed down? Well, that is where the new entrance will be.
Okay. So what are the...
It's like in the middle of these two.
So anytime something like this happens, before it happens, a lot of... people with a terribly important aura about them bustle in and set up presentations and point at things on PowerPoints and they say this will statistically relieve. So what is the expected easing of the other two main routes?
Well, I think that, you know, in the morning, if you're headed into Little Rock or, headed out of town on Maumelle Boulevard going south. Then you're not going to go anywhere very far, very fast. You're just going to sit there for a little while. We're hoping maybe this will relieve some of the traffic off of Maumelle Boulevard in the morning. And the same thing in the afternoon when you're coming home. There is so much backup on the boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hoping that maybe with this new exit, it's kind of in the middle. You've got the Crystal Hill exit and you've got the Morgan and Marche exit. This is kind of in the middle.
But, have they projected how many people they think will use it? Have they given you any numbers?
Tens of
like
thousands.
That?
They did. Yeah, they did some studies on it. But the part of the issue is we're still growing, and we have hundreds of homes that are about to be built towards
right
that,
there,
yeah.
that right there in that
towards
area
towards that new third interchange.
Yes.
So
the studies are already obsolete.
That's the thing that wears you out. Like a lot of the stuff that's happening in Little Rock. They're doing all that work, and all it's going to do is maintain the status quo
because of
growth. And,
so I campaigned hard for the third interchange, but I saw it as more of an economic tool. And what people didn't understand is if we didn't do anything, those hundreds of homes were still coming.
Right.
And it was going to add to an existing corridor that was over capacity.
So did you kind of play on it? You were like, homes are coming. like Game of Thrones, Game of Homes.
Yeah. Winner
game
is
of
coming.
Homes.
Who will win the Game of Homes?
Well, when I was campaigning, I was trying to look even further down the road, decades down the road, about a fourth entrance, trying to get something going over between Palm Creek and Rolling Rock.
We've got so many issues at the moment and projects that we're trying to do.
Well, Mr. hold Tyrion, that thought. I got to get us to it. But we come back to you on, we have a lot of projects we want to get to.
Okay.
So
I need to write that down
because
I'm going to forget that.
And I'm also going to give the answer to where do you find a dog that has no legs, since we were talking about dogs before the break. So when we come back, I'll give the answer to where do you find a dog that has no legs. Here on the Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 FM, The Answer. There he goes on that Stairmaster again. That is the most fit radio announcer dude in the history of radio announcer dudes and dudettes of any radio announcer type person, an announcer person.
Maybe he needs a breathing treatment.
It could be. Yeah, he needs to do the inhaler.
Yeah, he needs an inhaler.
The vaporizer, whatever you call it. Yeah, so anyway.
He's Clint Eastwood's voice coach.
He is. Yeah, he is. Okay, so we're joined for this final before the 3:30 break, three Maumelle City Council persons. We have Terry Williams, Chad Gardner, and Michael Tierney. And the first hour today, we were talking about the vicious dog discussion. Now they're just kind of giving updates and stuff that they would like their constituents to know about or maybe hear from their constituents on. By the way, our number is 501-823-0965. And I am Shane Stack, sitting in for Dave Elswick. He'll be back with you on Tuesday. Now, Terry said she has some projects that she wanted to mention, so I'm gonna throw it her way. But before that, I have to give out the answer. Before break, I said, you know, where do you find a dog that has no legs? And so, do any of you three want to take
it? My best guess is a hot dog.
No.
Yeah, well, I'm out now.
Yeah, right where you left him.
Oh,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
Uh huh. Yeah. What do you call a cow that plays guitar?
Guitars and
a musician. Okay, we'll move right along.
Oh my gosh.
Moving right along.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're getting it. That was utterly
Chad,
perfect.
You should be the radio.
Yeah,
I got no beef with him. He's good.
I love chewing the cud with you guys. Okay, so
he is milking this for all.
Oh,
it is.
Yes, I love it.
I think you guys have beef.
We got something. So we're grinding it up. Okay, I'm stopping.
He's
hurting
us right along.
I'm stopping us now. Before I pull a calf muscle, darn it. Okay, I gotta stop. I have a real problem. I really do. Okay, so Terry, we got about 8 minutes or so. What projects do you want to make sure people know about?
Before we went to break, Michael was talking about how he had, you know, has it in his sights for a fourth exit.
Right.
And when he was campaigning, we were talking about that. He brought that to my attention that was something that he wanted to look at. But, you know, what my position on that was, we had so many other things, so many irons in the fire, so many other projects that we have to complete. That has to be.
So you don't want to get branded as just one project. You got more things.
There are more irons in the fire.
Gotcha.
But you know, we're going to eventually overlay Crystal Hill.
Okay.
And
do you guys have like evil, vicious designs to take over Crystal Hill, like Jacksonville annexed Gravel Ridge? Admit it. All right. Can you, on air, you guys want to?
No, just me. I don't know about anybody else, but Crystal Hill, I would love.
Y'all have like maps?
We do own part of Crystal Hill.
Do you really?
And it butts up to North Little Rock. So, you know, our overlay has to stop. We go.
So I have to be very careful that was clearly a joke, because somebody will hear that and they said on the radio that there's a council people that are going to annex Crystal. I was joking. I was
We're
going to
herd all the cows.
Yeah, they're going to herd the cows. Yeah, don't have a cow. I was joking. Okay,
but
so
we do
anyway.
Have. We are. We're about to start. I think they said about 90% ready to start construction of a roundabout. That is a public safety issue that we really, really need in town. You know, it's not like Conway where they just finished. I think they built their 27th roundabout. This will be our first one,
right?
And then we're looking at one over toward the interchange at some point. But right now, at that particular intersection, we're just trying to make it a four-way stop, just in anticipation of the traffic that's going to be going toward the going toward the interchange. But, you know, there's just some things that we have got to do that we promised we would do that's got to...
Some infrastructure.
Infrastructure
issues. Like, for example, what are we talking about?
Well, like the Crystal Hill and the roundabout. Yeah. And
there's another roundabout over at South Odom and Club Manor.
Right.
We've been developing to get ready
for
there.
Are there any, like, plumbing issues or drainage issues or roads
always,
and bridges?
You know, we have had...
We're a city, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's always those. And
yeah,
plus
Ward
with
two,
the... With the
Do you have wild, feral pit bulls running around in the sewers?
No, we've got coyotes.
Or did the alligators take care of
that? We just have Terry run around wild.
Now, Energy, come quick. Energy company, come quick.
Yeah, the Victoria Circle area of Ward 2 has had a drainage problem for quite a while. That is about to be addressed. This is in place to be fixed.
Well, you know, we have had nothing but rain.
Yeah.
Rain on top of rain.
Somebody
and so it's been really hard to stay on top of the
This is anecdotal.
Issue.
I don't know if it's true or not, but supposedly since September, we have not gone 7 consecutive days without rain. You know,
I would believe
and
that.
And the Arkansas River is about to flood. So people, be careful. I know it's Memorial Day, but be careful out there.
Right.
Keep an eye on the high ground.
Yeah, it could flood. So we've got about 5 minutes left. We've talked about vicious dogs or whether they're really vicious, and if so, how to handle it. We've talked about traffic.
Right.
We've talked about roundabouts.
Right.
I lived in England for a couple of years in the 90s when I was in the Air Force. I found roundabouts to be great because they keep traffic flowing. The only time that I have a problem with a roundabout is if traffic backs up to the point where it backs up in the roundabout, it can cause issues. But I like them better than stoplights because they keep things going.
Well, when the stoplight goes out, you're not having to get an officer out there to direct traffic and all of that.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty simple content.
Plus, you could just drive around it and go, look, kids, Big Ben, and just keep driving around it.
Well,
the European vacation.
Well, my daughter says a roundabout is one of those things where you have to learn the dance before you can go to the party.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a learning curve having to figure out which way you need to go. Some of those. But in Conway are pretty complicated.
Now, the Conway, when I was leaving like Best Buy or something in Conway the other day, and to cross the overpass, I had to go through it. And it was a complicated roundabout. But I mean, I was like, well, there's signs and it tells me this and that, and I'm fine. It is one of those things once you understand it. But yeah, the first couple of times it can be confusing. So
yeah, our design is one where nobody can just go straight across.
You know,
they'll hit something.
Right.
And so it's just a...
And that way you don't get anybody T-boned. That's where you get the injuries.
Well, the point of a roundabout, if I understand it correctly, is to keep traffic moving but to slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
So you slow traffic down at intersections and whatnot, but you don't arbitrarily just shut everybody down with a stoplight.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah, Chad put up a good video of something he'd seen on MythBusters where they compared four-way stops, two roundabouts, so how fast they put the traffic through, and the roundabouts. Just,
roundabouts,
yeah,
went
it,
very well.
It keeps traffic moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, the only because they're everywhere in England, it's a very common
thing.
In
Europe there, yeah.
Yeah. And like sometimes you'll get a roundabout leading into a roundabout leading into a roundabout. But the only, like during rush hour, sometimes they would get backed up. But other than that, they were fine. So did you say, was that 3 minutes or 30 seconds? Okay, we got 3 minutes left. Okay, so each of you, I'm going to give you about a minute. Other than the issues we've already talked about, and I'm going to be like the McLaughlin group, you know, where he's like, "Arr!" Okay, other than the issues we've already talked about, what's your number one hot issue? Chad Gardner!
My hot issue, with the new road coming in, Maumelle's really got to build our economy up. We've don't have a lot of retail. We don't have a lot of shopping. We have great dining.
And that's revenue.
It is revenue.
Cities need revenue. We're not profit makers,
but they need revenue. Residents go outside of our city to spend their tax dollars.
Right.
And I would rather them have a place in our city. And so that's why I was really proud of the new interchange getting built, is we're going to have some great commercial property there.
Good.
Our revenue to grow.
And you know what you should do on your new entrance and exit? The millionth person that goes through it wins a free Mom-El bumper sticker.
Ooh.
That'll get them in there. Right?
That's an idea.
Yeah.
Two bumper stickers.
Okay, look, I'm writing that down. Yeah. I don't want to forget this
lollipop.
Good idea.
And I love Mom-El lollipop.
That is an idea.
Yeah, we just find the person to stand up there and count.
So your hot button is you want to generate revenue. People, cities try to provide appealing places to live so that people will come in and live there for communal togetherness. There's benefits of people being in one area. It attracts business, this, that, convenience. But they have to generate revenue. They don't have to get rich. They're not for profit, but they have to generate revenue to function. So that's what you're talking
about.
And
because we've got great city services, but we have to have a way to fund that.
Well, and that incentivizes people to come, is the city services. The public safety, again.
And the Velociraptors.
And the Velociraptors, or lack thereof.
Lack thereof. Okay. Yeah. So to move us on, what's your hot button issue? Michael Tierney!
Well, as Janet had mentioned, we're going to be bringing in a lot of business, hopefully, a lot of growth in Mobile. And when we do that, we're going to be cutting down a lot of our trees. So that is another ordinance that we didn't talk about.
Ooh, trees.
That is also up for a vote on June 3rd.
So you've upset the dog people, and now you're going to upset
the tree
people. Yeah. Or you have an
upset dog. We're trying to appease the tree.
Right, actually.
Yeah. We're trying to save the trees.
We're trying
to save the trees.
We're trying to put new rules in.
Wow, y'all got all kinds of stuff going on.
Well, we're trying to be proactive.
I'll try to put you in touch. I'd love for you to come back on, and if Dave can work you in, he probably can, because people are going to want to know about that. So, trees.
Yeah.
Revenue.
Save more room. Keep them.
All right, what's your hot button issue? Chad Gardner. No, I'm just joking. Terry Williams, see if you're paying attention.
I'm going to co-sign on these guys. I think
those are your big hot button issues.
Yeah, I think that we're all that's common to
I want a special card that says I'm a friend of you, so I can do donuts on Mobile Boulevard.
No, I told you as a friend of mine, you can't do
that. What's I'm saying? We need to work on that.
Oh, you want to
build consensus.
Okay, just you
all right,
and me.
I got this to break. Thanks so much, all three
thank
of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
We'll be back.
So fun.
On the Dave Ellswick Show, 101 FM, The Answer. 101. All right. Hey, I'm Shane Stack, setting in for, but never replacing, Mr. Dave Ellswick. He's off on a super secret Captain America mission, punching bad guys in the jaw. So he's all dressed up in his superhero costume. One of these days, when I'm guest hosting, might get into it today, 5 to 6 today. It's just going to be fun hour. We're going to have local comic book author, writer, Mark Pellegrini. And Mark's a lot of fun. He's just a veritable walking encyclopedia, Wikipedia of pop culture knowledge. We're probably gonna talk about movies that are coming out, cult movies, horror movies. And then also, we'll talk a little bit about, what the creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is up to right now. So, but it'll just be fun. We'll kind of follow our nose, at 4:30 till 5. We'll have Jane Ginn from the North Little Rock City Council. She's going to update us on what's happening in North Little Rock politics right now. She's been in office now for not quite half a year. I want to get her thoughts on, you know, now that she's gotten the seat under her a little bit, gotten her legs, sea legs, if you will, political legs, you know, what her thoughts are. And, you know, just kind of get an update. Jane's great. Love her. She's a hard worker, worked for years to get in office because she wants to make a difference. And between now and then, I'm going to have some updates. Phil Stowers from the Pulaski County Quorum Court sent me some information to share that he thought was important. Fridays are bad for him to actually call in or come in due to his job. A lot of elected officials are bivocational. They work full time and then, you know, like they do it. Like if you're a city council person or a quorum court member or something, you do it sort of as a on the side or, you know, at night or whatever. But he sent me some information. Other than that, we're just going to kind of have fun, follow our nose. We've got Memorial Day weekend in front of us. Folks, I want to remind you that there's a lot of warnings out there about flooding on the Arkansas River right now. And I would assume that would apply to, you know, other rivers in Arkansas too. I know some people are going to float to Buffalo. You know, you got the White River, the Red River, Little Red, all that, Little Red River. And is there a Red River and Little Red River in Arkansas? Anyway, Little Red River. And so they're probably going to be flooding too, because what happens when you have a lot of rain over an extended period of time, and then you have just a deluge of rain like we had recently, the water table gets soaked, and then all that is so that I don't know if soaked is right. It gets saturated. That's the word I'm looking for. And so the water table can't absorb any more water. And so it runs off into tributaries and streams and whatnot that leads into rivers. So the Arkansas River over the next few days, I'm hearing there could even be historic, flooding. So, and if anybody out there has any information, if they're already seeing craziness, I'd love to hear from you. 501-823-0965. That's 501-823-0965. For a second, I blinked on the last four there. Zach, what are you up to, man?
Just getting things prepared for the weekend.
Yeah, do you have any Memorial Day plans?
Not really at this moment. Most likely I'm just going to relax.
I know what you're going to do. You're going to catch up on watching TV shows and sports and your video game Let's Plays.
I'll definitely watch some sports with the NBA playoffs, but I may go see a movie.
You know what? I'll tell you, and I'm going to talk with Mark about this during the 5 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really intriguing movie coming out this weekend. Now, I'm not talking about John Wick 3, Parabellum, but it's Brightburn.
Yes.
And they're marketing it as a horror movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's basically what if when the child that came to Earth that became Superman.
Right.
And Superman has a good heart, is a noble man,
mm-hmm.
Does the right thing. They call him the Boy Scout. What if he had been a bad seed?
Right.
What if he was just a bad kid?
Mm-hmm.
What if he was not a sociopath? And that's kind of the concept of Brightburn.
Yep.
Now, it's not literally Clark Kent, and it's not literally Superman, but it's basically that.
Right.
So I'm very intrigued by this movie.
Yeah, I may go see that either Sunday. I may go Monday if I get the chance.
Yeah.
I'm going to go check it out because after watching it for the first trailer, I was like, I'm hooked. I really want to go see that.
I'm definitely intrigued. So
yeah.
I'd like to see it in the theaters, but if I don't get a chance, I'll definitely check it out on video.
My only problem with this is that I believe they've shown too much in the trailers.
I hope that there's more to the... I mean, they obviously show that he goes bad.
Yeah, after that first trailer, like, that is enough. Mm-hmm. They really don't need to show anything else. They don't need to...
I like to be teased by trailers. I don't want to see so much of a trailer that I think I know what's going to happen in the movie.
Exactly.
That's something I don't like.
Right.
Yeah.
And so really all you have to do is show, maybe you don't show him killing anyone. Maybe you just show the kid, with his eyes, glowing red, and you just see him,
Well, the only trailer I see, usually here's what I do.
Yeah.
When the first trailer for a movie comes out,
mm-hmm.
the quote unquote teaser trailer, I watch that one.
Yeah.
And then I usually don't watch any of the other ones because they'll keep revealing more plot points.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So the most I've seen is there's like somebody hiding in a freezer.
Uh-huh.
And he's obviously busting through the door.
Yes.
And that's about all I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen trailers with more than that?
Yes, I've seen two trailers so far.
Okay.
And then, like I said, after watching the first time, it was about probably 2 weeks ago when Dave told me about the movie. And he told me to watch it. It was during the show. He said, just go on YouTube and watch the trailer. And I did. And I was like, man, this trailer is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to have any more. That's it. Mm. Shouldn't show anything else.
I'm with you, but other people want more. Those other trailers, I mean, they obviously work or they wouldn't keep adding to the- Now, I'll tell you. I wasn't going to get into this, but we might as well. We got just a few minutes before the break.
Uh-huh.
So we'll talk movies a little bit. I do not like, and I don't like it at all. In fact, I think it should be illegal when they show scenes in a trailer that they never intend to put in the movie.
Right.
That seems wrong to me because that seems like false advertising.
Yeah.
Now, if they meant, hear me out. So sometimes they're making trailers before the final edit of the movie has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So if they thought it was going to be in the movie and then it got cut, fair enough.
Right.
But sometimes they film extra stuff or they'll put stuff in there knowing it's not going to be in the movie.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that
point. I don't think
they
should do that.
I agree with you on that point, because if that's the case, they should definitely have an extended cut movie, you know, after the fact.
Something.
But, you know, not everyone wants to buy that extended cut.
Right.
You know?
Well, I just think it's false advertising.
Yeah.
Because that scene might be what's to go get you to see the movie.
Exactly.
And then you get there, like, where was that scene? And
that's true.
You know, somebody a few years ago tried to sue Suicide Squad because there was a lot of stuff in the trailers that didn't make it in the movie.
Okay.
And I was kind of behind the guy.
Yeah.
But it got thrown out as frivolous or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he listed out, he's like, the trailers told me I was going to see this, 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 and that, and the other. And so I bought a ticket and went expecting that experience, and they delivered a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some merit to that.
Yeah.
Now, some people might say, oh, you're splitting it, you're being too uptight or whatever, and that's fair enough. But I think there's an underlying principle there that, you know, you're kind of lying.
Yeah, because you know what? Everyone has their own opinions.
Yeah.
They really do. And like I said, we can nit and pick everything about the trailer or, you know, hey, you know, like I said, false advertisement in your case. To me, I just want to go into a movie with a fresh head, you know, like you were talking about earlier, just with a fresh mind.
Yep.
You know, I've seen enough from the trailer to basically get me to come and watch this movie.
Right.
Like Star Wars.
Sell me the theme and tone of the movie.
Yeah.
And the actors, and I'm in.
That's
it. Yeah, because it's, you know, anyway. All right. So I was looking at because Dave's good friends with the owner of the Riverdale,
Matt Smith.
Yes. And the Cabot VIP 8
silver screen.
So let's see what we got going on there. We may talk a little bit about this when we come back. Now, from 5 to 6 is going to Mark's going to be here, Mark Pellegrini, and we're just going to geek out.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the show, we're not just geeking out. So if people are like, I want my politics and news. We'll get back to that here in a second. Zach and I are just following our nose for a second. So we got Aladdin, the live-action Aladdin, with Will Smith as the genie. I have no interest in seeing that in theaters.
Me too.
That's a video movie. Now, if I get a wild hair over the weekend and I'm like, I want to take my wife and kid to see a movie, we'd probably go see Aladdin.
Yeah, if I have some free tickets, I'll go see it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not going to spend the money on it. I just, you know, I watched the animated movie and I kind of liked it, but, you know, I'm a Lion King fan.
Lion King was like, I missed that generation.
Okay.
Right? Because what, you know, I was late teens, early 20s when Lion King came out. I was off in the military overseas, and I just didn't. That was just, I mean, I was aware of it, but it's not a major, but I know there's people who are like all about some Lion King.
Definitely, because me being born in 1992, you know, it came out 2 years later, but like I say, it was probably the first Disney movie I've ever seen. And I was.
Yeah, and you loved it, right?
I loved it.
We watched, I joined the Disney Movie Club.
Okay.
And I'd love to hear any time today, 501-823-0965, or comment on the Dave Elswick Show Facebook page on the live stream for the show. What are people's favorite Disney movie, go-to Disney movie? I'd love to hear that. But anyway, I joined the Disney Movie Club, and we got Mary Poppins.
Yes.
And we got WALL-E.
Okay.
And we got Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And then I got some kind of off the wall. I got The Cat from Outer Space, which I remember that from being a kid. I got The Black Hole.
Never heard of that one.
Black Holes was one of the last. It's a great movie, but it was like Star Wars changed everything about how sci-fi movies were made.
Gotcha.
And this was like one of the last sci-fi movies made the old way before Star Wars came along.
Gotcha.
And I love it a lot.
Okay.
And then I got Tron, the original Tron, you know. But Justice loved WALL-E a lot. He liked Peter Pan okay. But he went crazy over Mary Poppins.
Yes.
I mean, he was like way into Mary Poppins. Like the chimney sweep scene.
Yeah.
When they're dancing. Mm-hmm. Dude, he was like all into that.
I think that movie,
that is the best peak Disney non-animated movie ever.
I could agree with you on that.
It's like, you know, the joke, like, Mary Poppins is practically perfect in every way. That movie's perfect.
Yes.
It's great. It's the very definition of a classic that a five-year-old kid in 2019 loved it just as much as a five-year-old kid in the 60s.
I'm glad you brought up that point.
Right.
Because the most recent one, Mary Poppins Returns, was a very good movie.
Right.
It was a very good movie. But I felt that, you know, the music, the soundtrack,
it just wasn't quite
to that level. Right. And I felt that, you know, what you just said, Right. You put the kid back in whenever year came out, 1960s or whatever, or today in 2019. If you just sit the kid in front of a TV to watch Mary Poppins, they're going to love everything
he
about it.
He loved it.
Everything.
I mean, he loved it. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to start building up our classic. And he loves, man, he loves like 101 Dalmatians. And he loves Lady and the Tramp. And he likes Disney movies. You know, Peter Pan, and then I'll get us to a break after this. Peter Pan did not hold his interest as much as I thought it would.
Okay.
Which surprised me, because it's about a little boy that flies, and there's pirates, and there's sword fighting, and there's a big alligator, and then you're not supposed to say it these days, but it's the Red Indian village with the teepees and everything. And it's and they're on a magical island, and there's a pirate ship. And he was, I mean, he didn't dislike it, but I figured he would be crazy about Peter Pan. And he liked it, but dude, Mary Poppins, he was all about some dancing chimney sweeps on Mary Poppins.
That's a perfect movie.
It's a great, practically perfect in every way.
Gosh.
All right, I'm going to get us to a break. When we come back, we'll look at a little bit of local news and maybe some of this flooding stuff. Then I've got some updates at the in the 4 o'clock hour on the Placer County Quorum Court, and we'll have Jane Ginn, North Little Rock City Council member, in at 4:30 right here on the Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 FM, The Answer. Hey, welcome back to the Dave Elswick Show. I'm your host, or guest host, Shane Stack, sitting in for, but never replacing, Mr. Elswick. He's off today. He's on a super secret mission, fighting evil, punching evil in the jaw as Captain America. And he will be back with you on Tuesday. But what Dave does, when everybody else is taking 3 or 4 day weekends and celebrating and all that, he puts on his spandex and grabs his shield, and he goes and punches bad guys in the jaw. So that's where he's at right now. So 4:30 to 5, she actually texted and said she might be in just a little bit earlier. Jane Ginn, North Little Rock City Council, will be giving us a North Little Rock political update. And then 5 to 6, we'll finish the day in fun with just movies, pop culture, cult movies, horror movies, comic books, whatever. Just have some fun, follow our nose. And then before Jane gets in, I've got a couple of updates on the Pulaski County Quorum Court that Justice of the Peace Phil Stowers sent me to share. He wanted to share with everybody. But for the next few minutes until 4 o'clock, till the 4 o'clock break, just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the flooding situation. You know, people hear this stuff and they blow it off. But there, I've seen warning after warning after warning that this could be historic flooding on the Arkansas River. And I was just looking around, I just pulled up I pulled up the Democrat Gazette, just kind of scanning the news. And the very first headline, the biggest headline just right off the bat, said Arkansas governor calls high water rescue teams. So they're anticipating people are going to get themselves into trouble. So I'm just going to open it up, take a look at this article, and kind of share some highlights here. And I'm doing this because there's always that one person that thinks this doesn't apply to them. And I just want to get the word out as wide as possible. I've heard a lot of updates that it's bad, but maybe people haven't heard it. Or maybe they haven't heard it enough and it hasn't sunk in. But according to this article, and the byline is the Associated Press. So Associated Press article running in the Democrat Gazette, Governor Asa Hutchinson has directed the Arkansas National Guard to send high water rescue teams to the western part of the state in anticipation of what's expected to be record flooding on the Arkansas River this weekend. The governor said Friday that he directed the Guard to send 13-member rescue teams to western Arkansas by Saturday morning. Hutchinson says the team will follow the floodwaters as they move to the southeast of the state. So what that means is, that doesn't mean that the only flooding is going to be in western Arkansas. They anticipate it to start there and then roll southeast through the rest of Arkansas and follow the river. So as the flooding moves through the state on the Arkansas River, they want those rescue teams to be as close as possible to the problem points as people encounter that flooding. The Arkansas River is expected to crest at record levels in parts of the state because of a massive amount of water moving downstream from Oklahoma and Kansas. And it's already running high. I'm looking at it looks like some video or whatnot from 11:25 a.m., if I'm understanding this correctly, of the Arkansas River near Pinnacle Mountain State Park. And if you've ever climbed Pinnacle Mountain, even halfway and looked down, there's a very distinctive part of the river there that has like little islands in it, and it looks all warped already because the water is so high. It doesn't look like it normally does. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in Tulsa is increasing the amount of water being released from a dam. So because of the flood, they're having to release water from a dam, which is adding to the anticipated flooding here. And then as of 9:30 a.m. today, they were saying forecasters are predicting record flooding in western Arkansas and communities along the Arkansas River because of huge amounts of water headed downstream from Oklahoma and Kansas. In Van Buren, about 125 miles northwest of Little Rock, the river is expected to reach 41 feet by Sunday. That's nearly 20 feet above flood stage and 3 feet above the previous record of 38.1 feet set in 1945. So this is like a once in a generation, once in a lifetime level of flooding. I mean, that was 75 years ago or something, and it's even higher than that. So, and the river was 32 feet on Friday morning, or just above major flood stage. The Weather Service says near catastrophic flooding occurs at 37 feet. And the predicted river levels were creating extremely dangerous and life-threatening life-threatening situation. Now, further downstream, it says forecasters expect major but not record flooding by Little Rock or Little Rock on June 1st. The point is, it's going to be dangerous out there. And I would imagine, even though this doesn't match it, just with the amount of range or with the amount of rain, I had a friend that went camping on the Buffalo River earlier this week. That stuff's up too. So just be careful, because a flash flood or flooding water can become dangerous a lot quicker than you expect. And it doesn't take, now I'm not saying that it's the kind of flash flood because it's not rain, but you can have, you're like, oh, there's just a couple of inches of water on the road. Your car can get swept away. So better safe than sorry, I guess is what I'm saying. Now, if knowing all of that, if you still decide to go out and do something dumb, that's on you. But also remember, when you take a risk and then you get in trouble, other people have to risk their lives to save you. So just remember that. Now, sometimes people legitimately get into problems that they didn't anticipate. They didn't do anything stupid. They just get caught in a bad situation, and all fair enough. But if you do something you know is risky, and then it gets out of control, and then other people have to come risk their lives to save you, shame on you. I don't want you to die. I want them to rescue you. And if I saw you in trouble, I would help rescue you. But shame on you for putting people in that circumstance. I don't know how to say it any more than that. So, and I hope, you know, that a lot of these warnings and predictions don't pan out. I'd rather them be over alerting and it not be as bad, rather than not alert enough and it be worse. So, you know, I hope that it's not, you know, as bad as it could possibly be. So anyway, do you ever get out on the water or anything, Zach? Is that something you like to do for fun? Or
sometimes I like to go to the fishing pier by the big down bridge on the north of the Rock Side and just chill and
just
relax.
Hang out. Do you fish or anything? I like to fish a little bit.
I don't fish, but to tell you the truth, I probably have the patience for it these days. Okay. And once upon a time. So,
all right, fair enough. Then I'm seeing I'm in I belong to the Indian Hills Facebook page. What do we got, about 30 seconds there, 20 seconds? Yeah, there's an update from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Says we cannot express how serious this current event is. And they're trying to update people and make sure they know. So anyway, when we come back, I'm going to give a little bit of Pulaski County Quorum Court updates. We'll have Jane Ginn, and we'll just have more good talk here on the Dave Elswick Show. Hey, welcome back to the Dave Elswick Show. We are in the 4 o'clock hour on this Friday, May 24th, Memorial Day weekend. I know there's a lot of people that are already off or ready to go home or ready to get on the road. Whether you're working or you're home, whatever your status is, thanks so much for making us part of your Friday afternoon. Dave is out on a super secret Captain America mission punching bad guys in the jaw. I'm Shane Stack sitting in for but never replacing Mr. Elswick. And he will be back with you on Tuesday. So we're going to be joined here shortly by Jane Ginn from North Little Rock City Council. I've got some updates from Phil Stowers on the Pulaski County Quorum Court. He sent me that I want to get into, talk about a little bit. You know, Phil, it's hard on Fridays for Phil to call in or come in because of his job. But, you know, he did send this stuff to me and ask me to help get the word out. So I'm more than happy to do that. But first, I just want to share one more article. I know people are like, oh, we get it. But I'm talking about this flooding on the Arkansas River this weekend. They're saying in many areas that it will be historic. And of course, right when I'm ready to start talking about it, my computer froze up. So, but now it seems to be coming back. The Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, last night on May 23rd, there's an article from KATV saying that the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission is asking, or it advises boaters to stay off Arkansas River during Memorial Day weekend. Now, I know that people are like, what? It's Memorial Day weekend. It's that weekend was practically made to go do summer stuff and get on the river and et cetera, et cetera. But just listen. So the Arkansas Game and Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, this is per KATV. They put this article out last night, this post on their website, is warning everyone to steer clear of the Arkansas River this year due to the massive amount of water being released from reservoirs throughout Oklahoma that have nearly reached capacity from spring rainfall. Plus, it's just been raining a lot in general, so we've already got a lot of extra water in the Arkansas water table and in the river and all of that. Now, the Army Corps of Engineers has already issued a release stating the flow is likely to exceed flows that caused major flooding. Now, to exceed flows that caused major flooding in 2015 and in 1990. Said Keith Stevens, chief of Arkansas Game and Fish Commission's Communications Division. To put it into perspective, okay, listen to this, folks. To put it into perspective, small craft advisories are issued when the flow gets to 70,000 cubic feet per second, okay? Small craft advisories. They expect flows on most pools of the river to peak at or near 500,000. That's almost 10 times the amount of when they put out a small craft advisory. It's about 8 times, somewhere around the sea. 7 times 8 would be 56. So yeah, so not quite 8 times. Cubic feet per second in the next week. There are many lakes. Steven says there are many lakes in Arkansas that provide excellent opportunities to fish and enjoy a day on the water, and boaters should avoid the river until the water levels have dropped to safe level. He says we can't legally keep anyone from going out on the river during this time, but anyone who tries to go out will be risking their lives, and as we talked about before the break, the lives of anyone who attempted a rescue during these conditions. If the current is too fast and the water is too high, we simply cannot get to someone if they attempted to go out on the water. So anyway, and there's a lot of examples of lakes that people can enjoy and that sort of thing. So again, this is the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, the Army Corps of Engineers, the governor we were talking before the break has activated water rescue teams in the National Guard to be on hand. So they're anticipating people getting into problems when this major flood water hits. It's going to start in the western part of the state and just wash on across. So, all right, but enough about that. You know, if you had, you know, if you don't get the point by now, you know, I don't know what else to say. So, and I hope everyone stays safe out there, whether they do dumb stuff or not. So there you go. Don't know how else to say it. I'm going to, we'll have Jane here in a little bit. I'm going to try to get through some of these updates from, Phil Stowers. If I get a chance, I'll give out a little Memorial Day trivia. I did that last year on Memorial Day and people enjoyed it and I enjoyed doing it. So I'm hoping, to do it again, today, if I can find time to work that trivia in. So, you know, I was texting and talking with, I still know several people on the Pulaski County Quorum Court. And I said, hey, guys, you know, I'm guest hosting on Friday. Any of you want to come in? And I always try to, when I have the opportunity to host the Dave Elswick Show, which, thank you to Dave, I always appreciate the opportunity and I never take it for granted. One of the things I like to do is I like to highlight issues I care about, like animals. You know, there's great organizations out there. There's the Arkansas Lost and Found Pet Network that I recommend you follow on Facebook. I always try to share that stuff out. I mean, people, you know, they really, it really hurts when you lose a pet. And there are reunion stories that the Arkansas Lost and Found Pet Network is involved in. You know, I try to help with, you know, Big Brothers Big Sisters and, you know, City Connections and all these organizations that help people. But another thing I like to do is I like to talk about local politics, like, you know, city politics, Maumelle, North Little Rock, you know, Alexander, whatever. I like to raise awareness. And then the Quorum Court. So one of my favorite things, one of my favorite drums to beat is how important county politics is. So, it, you know, everybody, most people pay attention. If they're going to pay attention to politics, most people, unless they're a single issue person and something pops up on that issue, and so they get hyper involved, whether it's county or state or city or federal or whatever, everyone has their pet issues that they follow. But in general, people who are politically aware tend to follow city politics, then they follow state politics, and then they follow federal politics. And maybe they'll pay attention to world politics. But a lot of people, for whatever reason, just kind of skip over county politics. And it's, you know, they're like, they don't even, a lot of people don't even know that the justice of the peace is their quorum court representative on each county's quorum court. And a quorum court is the best way to put it is basically like a city council, but it's for the county. And it's the first level of partisan politics. You can run as a, you know, a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent, Green, whatever. You can run as a party member. And it's they pass and discuss countywide ordinances. They make sure that county services are funded. And in addition to, yes, they can marry people, which when I was a JP, I didn't do a whole lot of that. That wasn't why I was there. But, you know, on a case by case basis, every now and then, you know, if I personally knew the situation or whatever, then I would do it. But one of the main things they do is they oversee the general fund of each county. And in Pulaski County, that general fund, I think, is close to, when I was on the quorum court, it was like $60 million. I think the last I've heard, that's been a few years, it's creeping near $70 million, if not more than $70 million. That's a lot of money. That's a discretionary fund that they have to oversee the best way to spend that money. And to make it even, bring it, drive it even more home, when one of the things that I said would say when I was campaigning or when I was on the quorum court is, I wish I could make your property taxes go away. I can't. But the next best thing I can do is try to make sure that they're spent wisely. So all of those property taxes, they fund schools and this and that, and millage this and that and that and that, and it funds all the stuff that's mandated. But after that, there's money left over for each county to spend as they see fit. And when I was on the quorum court, we were overseeing like $60 million out of your property taxes. So I and they get involved, you know, like the responsible for the jail, and we had the big Lake Maumelle watershed issue that was, you know, crazy, where, I mean, they were just straight trying to take people's property rights away without real justification, in my opinion. You know, just all kinds of crazy stuff happens. So when we get back from the break, I'm going to give some updates on what's happening on the Pulaski County Quorum Court from Phil Stowers. So we will get there, but, and I'm going to throw out a bad joke. I'll give you the answer when we get back. So think about it. I'll give you the answer on the other side of the break. Why did the shark cross the reef? Why did the shark cross the reef? And I'll give you the answer when we get back here on the Dave Ellswick Show. Hey, welcome back to the Dave Ellswick Show. I'm Shane Stack, sitting in for but never replacing Mr. Ellswick. We've got about 4:22 in the Little Rock, Central Arkansas, and Arkansas area. Here in about 10 minutes after the 4:30 break, I'm going to be joined by Jane Ginn of North Little Rock City Council. She's actually in the studio now, but we're going to be talking 4:30 to 5 about getting a North Little Rock City Council update and getting... like to hear from her now that she's been in office for a few months, what her perceptions are and all that stuff. I'm going to give some updates from Pulaski County Quorum Court here. Phil Stowers sent this to me, and asked me to update people. And I explained, before the break, why the Quorum Court's so important, but here's yet another example. Jane, feel free during any of this to chime in, because there's a lot of cooperation between the cities and the Quorum Court. So, and just as a citizen of Pulaski County, love to hear from you. Okay, so he sent me an article from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette on May 22nd, titled "Judges Aim to Halt Central Arkansas Plan on Youth Probation," and his take on this is that it's a trying to think of how he put it. I don't want to put it in for his own. I'll put it in his own words. I don't want to misquote him. So J.P. Phil Stowers, who represents a portion of Maumelle, said the biggest thing going on right now is a power struggle between the circuit judges and the county judge, who's currently Barry Hyde, regarding supervision of juvenile court intake and probation staff. He says the Democrat Gazette did a pretty fair and comprehensive piece on this matter a couple of days ago, and he sent that to me. And then he said, and I'll look into that here in a second, but he also said also brewing is that the current interlocal agreement between the cities and county regarding the funding mechanism for that. And I'm going to need your help with this one. Jane, it says for the PCRDF. Does that ring any bells for you? We may have to look that up. I don't remember that when I was on the Quorum Court. I'm sure. Oh, regional detention facility, Pulaski County reads at the jail, ends at the end of this year. And the Quorum Court has passed an ordinance that require the cities to pay a per diem based on the detainees they bring to the detention rather than a flat amount annually. The mayors are pushing back hard on this. So I don't know if you wanted me to read that. There's discussion. Let's just say there's discussion. Well, I'm going to speak to that second one first. When I was on the court, a lot of this kind of discussion came up. What happens is the county runs the jail. The sheriff's department, Pulaski County Sheriff's Department, runs the Pulaski County Regional Detention Facility, the jail. Okay, a jail, the reason they call it a detention facility and not a prison is because, for the most part, jail's where you're sent while you're awaiting trial. You could be innocent and be in jail, right? Once you're convicted, then you tend to go to prison or whatever. Now, the Pulaski County Quorum Court does house some state and federal prisoners if they have space, and they get paid for that. This argument, this discussion, this whatever you want to call it, just keeps coming up because the cities don't have their own jail, right? And so they need to use the Pulaski County Regional Detention Facility. But then you always, and that costs money. It costs a lot of money when you take responsibility for somebody and house them. You got to keep them safe. You got to provide medical. You got to provide food. You got to provide transportation. You got to get them to their court appearances. You got to have staff, all this stuff. And it seems like it, and what they do is they have these interlocal agreements that they'll say, well, for 3 years or for 10 years or for 8 years or whatever, all of the cities in the county agree to do it this way. So now that interlocal agreement is about to expire. And so, of course, everybody wants to renegotiate it. And I'm not even saying this is a bad thing. It's how it is. Every city and the county want to negotiate it to their best interest. That's just how it works, because the cities are responsible for overseeing the resources of the taxpayers they represent. And the county is responsible for spending the general fund money from property taxes the best they can. So it doesn't necessarily mean that anyone's trying to be shady here. But it does mean that you might have some conflicting opinions on how things should be run. Okay. I've got about 3 minutes. I'm going to get into this other issue that that Phil wanted me to bring up. Jane, did you have anything to say on that?
What is the cost per person?
I'd have to look that up. I knew what it was when I was on, but I would have to look that up. Okay. And that's usually what it comes down to. And then, you know, sometimes cities will say, well, we'll pay you X money annually based on an average. And it sounds like the county now wants it. No, we want it per real person. We want that money per day. So that'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yes.
But that was a huge amount of the general fund goes to the jail. And it's just an ongoing thing. So, okay. And then we got this news article here. The judges aim to halt Central Arkansas plan on youth probation. This is from Amanda Claire Curcio. Oh, I forgot to give out the joke answer. The joke before the break was, why did the shark cross the reef? And the answer is to get to the other tide. To get to the other tide. Okay. So that's the appropriate response, Jane. All right. All seven, this is the coverage from the DemGaz. All 17 Pulaski County circuit judges are trying to block the county's, now this is the words of the article, not me, attempted takeover of the court's juvenile probation department. Records show. On Tuesday, the Pulaski County Quorum Court is scheduled to vote. Now this was from May 22nd. So this is next Tuesday they're going to vote on that, because that was Wednesday, right? The 22nd. So on this coming Tuesday, the Pulaski County Quorum Court is scheduled to vote on creating a $68,000 Director of Juvenile Justice Services position overseen by County Judge Barry Hyde. Of course, Barry Hyde represents the executive branch of county government, the county's chief executive. The new director would manage the give me a countdown, Zach, because it like in my ears because I'm reading. We're getting close to a break. The new director would manage the county's juvenile probation department, including updating its policies and oversee other youth justice programs. Hyde has said that he thinks the juvenile probation department, currently managed by three circuit judges, needs his office's help improving how it handles and organizes cases. Hiring a director would lower probation lengths, he said, even though circuit judges set probation terms. So I'm not sure how that works. Judges, however, contend that Hyde's proposal violates their legal authority. The judges say they will challenge Hyde's move in federal court if the Quorum Court supports his proposal. Hyde has cited, give me a 10-second countdown when you can, Zach. Hyde has cited two studies of the county's juvenile probation system that pointed to poor organization and management as the result for the seeking control of the program. So I'll try to post that on Facebook. But those are the two main things that Justice Phil Stowers recommends we know about. Now, Zach, who was that? That was Tara with weather or traffic? Because y'all used to have Carter for traffic.
He may just be taking an off day.
Okay, because I didn't recognize. Was she giving traffic updates?
She was.
Okay. What did she? I didn't hear. Is there any traffic out there?
I couldn't really tell either.
Okay. Is there traffic? You just got here, Jane. Is there any traffic out there?
No.
Are you going on the raging Arkansas River this weekend, or are you paying heed to the warnings?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I would save you, though, Jane.
I would save you.
Did you know that North Little Rock is closed as a park for a lot of areas?
Well, I knew that. I'd heard that, and I know at least one side of the Big Dam Bridge is closed. I didn't know if it was the North Little Rock or the Little Rock side.
The dog park, right. All of that's closed up.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it's bad. So and that's just from the rain. The stuff that's coming in is from Oklahoma and Kansas having to get it to release out of their dams. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're here to talk about North Little Rock politics. And it's interesting. I'm not going to take you into the discussion unless you just want to go there. But it's interesting you shared with me that with the first hour of the show today, we had three city council members from Maumelle on, and we were talking about the vicious dog ordinance. And you said there isn't anything officially in the works in North Little Rock, but there's a little bit
to reverse it.
Yeah,
it's already law.
Yeah. But you said there's a little bit of talk if there somebody might want to do. Okay, I'm not trying to put you into the discussion. So this might be a larger discussion than just Maumelle.
My next door neighbor was walking her little bitty cute little dog down the street, and somebody on Greenway had a half pit bull, half Great Dane.
Right.
And it got loose, and it jumped on her.
Right.
And knocked her down. She had to go
That's
to the hospital.
That's a big dog. Yeah.
Yes, it is a big dog. And her little dog had to have 8 staples, you know. This is just recently.
Right.
You know?
Well, and the point, and I'll let the city council members speak for themselves. I'm not going to advocate for them. I thought it was a good discussion, and the stuff they wanted to do made sense to me. But a lot of that, you know, they were like, look, we're not trying to not have public safety, but we feel that, like, leash laws and giving animal control authorities to deal with things on a case-by-case basis rather than just, we think that's a pit bull, you can't bring it here. That's what they were, because it was subjective. And as I shared with you off during the break, I didn't even know today, there's no such actual thing as a pit bull. It's a slang term that's applied to about three different breeds of terriers and one type of bulldog. I didn't even know that. So,
I mean,
if you can show statistically that a certain type of dog is more aggressive and dangerous, and if you're like, okay, we're not going to allow it in city limits, but we're going to do a test on it to make sure it's that kind of dog, you know, but just having somebody look at it and go, well, no, you know, that I'm very uncomfortable with that. So anyway, but that's Mom L's thing. You know, it's just interesting you shared. There's a little bit, nothing formal, but you just heard some discussion in North Little Rock. So,
right.
Jane, you were one of my heroes. You hung in there political season after political season, and you worked your tail off. And you are in office now. Remind people of, this is Jane Ginn, not Jane Ginn. Jane Ginn, like again and again. What ward and all that do you represent in North Little Rock?
Well, I'm in Ward 4. It's like Lakewood and Indian Hills and some down by Camp Robinson.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask, Jane.
Okay.
Now that you're in office, what do you think now that you've been in office for almost half a year now? Because you worked so hard to get there. So what have been surprises, both good and bad?
Well, I thought it'd be a lot easier.
Did
and I
you?
Thought it wouldn't take as much time.
Yeah.
But people call you day and night. They want answers, and then you have to call somebody, and they call you back.
If
you
you're being a good representative, yeah,
that's
you do
right.
that.
You
take care
right.
of the people that are, yeah. That doesn't mean that people can treat you like they're, you are a public servant. That doesn't mean people can harass you or hound you. But if you care about your constituents, you're going to try to get them answers.
That's right.
Right, yeah.
And there's a lot of controversial things. And
Controversy. Yeah, give us an example of that.
I'll give you an example. I haven't made up my mind yet, so this is a good one to talk about. The North Little Rock Airport, they want to spend $4 million to upgrade it, to add hangars and extra things that would bring economic development for North Little Rock. That's the point. I said there's probably less than a 1% of the people in North Little Rock use that airport. The richest man I know in North Little Rock doesn't house his planes there at all. I don't know if a lot of people even know where it is. They first started wanting a restaurant there, but they decided to eliminate that million. It's still being debated. We spent $10,000 trying to get what it's going to take to do. I did see in the...
They spent
$10,000 to determine what it's going to cost.
So they did a research and proposal that cost $10,000.
Yeah, they're
now,
in the
where'd
process
that money
of
come
it?
Out of?
The general fund.
Okay, so the city council, North Little Rock, spent the money.
Right.
Okay.
So I was looking in the newspaper the other day, and the Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport, which is the largest airport in Arkansas, and it said that the airport is a city agency, but it receives no city general revenue, and its policies are set by the commission.
Okay. So it has to be self-sustaining. It has to generate its own revenue. Okay.
But our airport is nowhere near that. I'm not saying that. But the Clinton National Airport does rent out hangars and do things that make money for it. The money that we make under our current manager is not enough for it to be spending $4 million. So what they want to do is borrow the money for 30 years. I don't want my family paying for 30 years $4 million for an airport that less than 1% of the city uses. But on the other hand, if it does draw people in to North Little Rock, it may be worth it. So what I'm doing right now is investigating other cities to see how they handle it. Little Rock doesn't, but maybe there are other smaller airports that, smaller cities that have an airport.
Well, in my opinion, that's the right thing to do. You know, when I had to deal with legislation, I just wanted all the facts.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd be like, look, on the surface of it, I think I like this, or on the surface of it, I think I don't like it, but let me dig in. So it's not what you spend, it's what you get back.
That's exactly right.
You want to say, look, okay, fair enough. You say it's going to bring X amount of economic development. Show me why you think that.
Right.
I need to understand. Don't just say, well, if you build it, they will come. I need to understand if you invest this money, and it could be, there's eight cities across the United States that are similar to North Little Rock that have their own little airport, and they've done X, and it's increased or resulted in X. Fair enough.
That's right.
Right? But you don't want to subsidize basically just a pet project, right? Like, I'm going to use this as an example. It's not a direct correlation. The trolleys in downtown Little Rock, right?
Right.
Oh, this is going to make Little Rock more of a tourist destination city, da-da-da. They went out and spent all the money, and those things are still empty. So show me where putting a trolley in is definitely, like, show me use cases, show me studies, and I would apply that same thing to the airport. You know, it may be that they've got all their ducks in a row, you know? If anybody out there is listening that is for the airport project or against it or has actual data, get a hold of Jane. How can people reach you, Jane?
My number is 501-749-5344. Listen, it's kind of like the Argenta Plaza. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
They spent
tell us what the Argenta Plaza is.
Well, it's an area of downtown that they wanted to upgrade it and do something that had a wow factor so that it would draw a lot of people in to live mm-hmm. downtown. Well, you know, they put some new housing in, and mm-hmm. it did draw people in. Then they're going to make this, it's kind of like a...
Is this something for discussion right now?
It's
happening.
Passed and it's
okay.
happening.
Okay, I see. That one flew past my radar. Yeah.
And did it bring people? Yes, it did. The First Orion corporate headquarters put up their building right next to the Argenta Plaza. It's nice. Going to have a waterfall, a place for right. weddings, a big spread for advertisements and whatnot. And then another place, the Power and Ice building mm-hmm. on the other side, and then 600 Main right down the street. Yes, it has brought a lot, and it did cost us millions,
right.
but we've gotten an
but
awful lot of people.
It's not what you spend, it's what you get back.
That's right.
right. And yeah.
But I don't know that people come to the airport. I don't know if they come to North Little Rock to build because we have a nice airport or vice versa.
Is that the main justification they're saying that
bringing in
that, that if there's a better airport there, that people will be more? Okay, so here on the I don't have the data to back this up.
Okay.
But Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport's close enough that I don't see that our airport out there is going to make that big of a difference. Because even in traffic, I can get from North Little Rock to the Hillary Clinton building here in about 20 minutes, even if there's traffic. I just don't see it. But maybe there's something I don't know. Is that their main argument?
That's what they're saying. They're saying that people would not come to North Little Rock because we don't have a nice enough airport, but 20 minutes, like you said.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I could be wrong. I have to, but I just, my gut reaction is, and I've got an ample gut here, Jane, I'm not seeing it.
Well, she'll see after the $10,000 that they spend to see what.
Okay,
what
and that's fair enough. I think that if you're looking at spending how much, $4 million?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think spending $10,000 to do a study. That's reasonable.
Okay.
But at the same time, when that study comes along, you'd want to know who's doing the study, Is there any, you know what I mean? Like, who did y'all hire, right? Do they have a stake in this happening? You know, there's all these questions you have to get into. Right. Because the cynical side of me said there's an old boys club that wants a better airport out there, so they want to fix up their airport. That's what the cynical part of me says. Okay. I'm not saying that that's the case. I have no idea. So I would need hard facts before I spent $4 million out there.
Very good.
Yeah.
I feel I'm right there with you.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to a break. Why don't you tease us what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break? What's your other stuff?
Well, one of the big issues is streets. So let's talk about that. Infrastructure.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about streets right here on the Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 FM The Answer with Jane Ginn, North Little Rock City Council. Hey, welcome back to the Dave Elswick Show. I got distracted for a second because I was looking at the Dave Elswick Show Facebook page, and Kenneth Wallace said, I've got a clone of Jabba the Hutt's pet rancor, because he was talking about the Maumel vicious dog ordinance. So I saw that at the very second that we were supposed to come back on air. So Kenneth, you successfully bamboozled me, because I was joking around about cloning a velociraptor. I'm like, well, can I have a velociraptor in Maumel? But anyway, I wish people could see your smile, Jane. So they can if they go to the Dave Elswick Show Facebook page. There's a live camera action thing going on. So I think it is. Are we live right now, Zach? I don't see it on the date. Let me refresh. Anyway, I'm joined by Jane Ginn from North Little Rock City Council, Ward 4, and she updated us before the break on a North Little Rock City Airport possible upgrade that she's doing some research on. And now you said you wanted to talk about roads. So, folks, we've only got a few minutes here, but you know, if you want to call in and ask Jane a question, it's 501-823-0965. So tell us about roads, Jane.
Okay. Well, when I was campaigning, the majority of the people that live around Crestwood have a parking issue problem, Crestwood Elementary.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And streets and streets had the same problem. It's not just one or two. So I went to our engineer and I asked him, and he said he's going to try and do a separate lane that mm-hmm. will route the traffic better.
And okay.
So that's a real plus, because I was trying very hard to get that fixed. Fairway and Crestwood are all finished.
Now, is that one
nice.
Of the things that you kind of campaigned on?
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to follow up on one of the things that you said you were going to do. So
I sure am.
Let's say he does the study and comes back and says, we can do this or whatever. How long do you think, because you can't fix that stuff instantly. How long do you think?
Well, it'll be a summer job because of school, so it'll probably be during the summer if it's
okay.
done. We're already
so it can be done that
talking about
quickly. Mm-hmm. And explain again exactly what
coming up Randolph and turning onto Crestwood in front of Crestwood Elementary.
Yes,
he wants a new lane there.
Just a new lane. Okay.
New lane.
And a lot of people, I do this sometimes, not all the times. A lot of people will get off JFK, get on Randolph, and cut through there to get over on North Hills by Bank Ozarks and all that. I think there used to be a Arkansas Federal Credit Union there. I don't know if they're renovating it. Are they renovating it? So a lot of people use that as a cut through mm-hmm. or a shortcut. So, an extra lane. I do that every now and then. Not often, but, every now and then. So, all right. So those are the two main. So do you feel pretty good that that might happen? Or, if he comes back and says it can be done, then do you have to ask the mayor and the city council to authorize funding? Or, how does that work?
Well, we had taxes increase, so there's plenty of money to do that part of it. The
okay.
other issue was we were trying to run a street behind Crestwood Elementary, like a U-shaped from mm-hmm. Crestwood to Crestwood, and let the kids get in and out on the back side of Crestwood Elementary. That may not happen. It is Crestwood's land, and they would be more than happy to let us do it, but it'd still be owned by the school district. So I don't know if that's going to fly or not. We're still talking about it.
Okay.
The PTA is for it. The principal's for it, but we're just going to have to keep working on it.
Okay.
The other two streets are Locust and Westfield. And Locust is terrible in certain areas, and that is on the list, and it's almost to the very top of the list. And then a little short area, Westfield, they're going to work on that too. There are other, there's a whole list of them. They have a new program in North Little Rock that shows at a moment at all of the potholes by the punch of a button in the engineer's office. It's awesome.
Oh, really?
So we'll know how bad they are and where we need to really invest that money that we took in from taxes. So
do,
I'm
do you know
happy.
If a lot most people know this, but some people don't. The more rains you have, the worse potholes get. So we've had a lot of extra rain the past since September. Supposedly, we haven't gone 7 days with our potholes worse right now than they normally
they
are.
They are, but we do have more money, so that's good.
That is good.
I believe we're going to be able to handle it.
Okay. And one thing, you know, we were talking about the airport project. Now, I'm not saying I'm in favor of the airport project. In fact, on the first, on the my knee jerk reaction is I'm dubious of it. But I would need more facts, right? One thing I learned in the years that I was doing this kind of thing is try to research before you, you know, make a final decision. But I will say, you mentioned during the break, you're like, oh, the Travelers and the Cardinals are playing at Dickie Stevens.
Yes.
So Dickie Stevens Park is an example of something that I could see the benefit of. I think it has led to some increased downtown activity and, you know, all that. And, I mean, it's being used not just for ball games, but for other stuff. People, a lot of people go to the ball games. But that one, that was one of the few things. I'm against taxes in general, tax increases. But it was a sunset tax. They taxed one penny for 1 year, and then it would, then the tax went away. They used it to build the ballpark, and I think that's been a good thing. So not every time we spend money, and not every time we say, hey, can we have a tax, is necessarily awful.
Right.
In that circumstance, it was very controlled. It was going to sunset, and it was used to build something that I think pretty much everybody agrees that Dickie Stevens is a good thing, right? And I don't think it's losing money or anything like that. So when it's established, it's a good part of downtown. So I just want to point that out. Now, we also have some comments on Facebook. Kenneth Wallace and otherwise, of course, you know Kenneth. Love Kenneth. He's a hard worker out there. He said, North Little Rock, you know, needs more fiscally conservative leadership, and he's referring to you too. Anyway, Lori Hotz from said hello from Fayetteville, Arkansas, and Kenneth specifically told you hello, Jane.
Aww.
So we got about a minute left. In the previous video from the pit, from the vicious dog discussion, I'm seeing that there's some active, there's some discussion down there, both for and against restricting pit bulls. So people might want to go to the Dave Ellswick show and check that out. Well, Jane, we got a little less than a minute. Thanks so much for coming in. Yeah, I love you. I'm a champ. I'm a fan. I love watching you get in there and work. And you're doing it the right way. You're probably irritating people. I remember when there was somebody running for office, and I was asking real easy, obvious questions. I thought, no brainers. And somebody's like, man, he asks hard questions. I'm like, really? Dude, you're interviewing for a job, right?
That's right.
I was getting glares from people and everything. Man. It's not a popularity contest.
That's right.
You're doing good, Jane.
Thank you.
All right. And good luck with your projects. I hope you get that extra lane.
All right.
So, folks, we'll be back for the 5 o'clock hour with Mark Pellegrini. And we're going to have a fun Friday. Cult movies, horror movies, all kinds of stuff on the Dave Ellswick Show. Hey, welcome back to the Dave Ellswick Show. I can't believe we're already in the 5 o'clock hour. We are in the final hour of the Dave Ellswick Show. I'm guest hosting. This is Shane Stacks, guest hosting for Mr. Ellswick. He is off on a super secret mission as Captain America punching bad guys in the jaw. So he says he's on a day off, but he's really in his superhero costumes, Captain America shield, and he's in an RV.
Oh, so he's 70s Captain America.
He's in an RV. Yeah, his motorcycle has his shield doubles as the wind guard on the motorcycle.
The shield's transplanted past plastic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And his RV, it spews exhaust that's red, white, and blue. And he's punching bad guys in the face. So Mark Pellegrini, as regular listeners of the Geek Panel should know by now, is a local comic book writer who's just really, in my opinion, you know, he often partners up with Timothy Lim, the artist, comics artist, that's also a frequent guest on Dave's show. But I consider Mark and Tim to definitely be up and coming.
Thank you.
You know, you guys, I enjoy your stuff. So we'll talk a little bit about current projects and projects you have coming out. Now, sometime soon on Shane Plays, we talked about, I think you and I are just going to get together and do a show on obscure horror movies or something like that.
I mean, in the back over there, we were just talking about that waiting for 5 o'clock. We're having a good conversation about horror movies.
You and Zach, And I'm, you know, I was talking with Zach. Oh, by the way, folks, it's 501-823-0965 if anybody wants to come in. I was talking with Zach. I'm actually kind of intrigued by this Brightburn movie. I don't know if you are or not. But
I haven't done enough research on it. But I was actually when Zach and I were talking, it's trending. But it's almost like you can't trust those anymore because people pay to trend on Twitter now. Like Aladdin is trending. You know,
right.
is that? I mean, it's
does
a good
that really
movie,
mean
probably
anything?
Not.
Yeah.
No.
So what is your thoughts on the live action Aladdin? Any thoughts on it?
I think it looks dire. It looks dreadful.
Does it really?
I mean, so some of the soundtrack got leaked on YouTube, and you can look up Friend Like Me and Prince Ali, and like Will Smith's covers sound bad.
Do they really?
Sound real bad.
Oh.
So it's actually not an adaptation of the Aladdin animated film. It's an adaptation of the Broadway musical, which is an adaptation of the Aladdin film, which is an adaptation of the Arabian Nights story. So it's
like a copy of a copy.
It's a telephone game of Aladdin until you finally get to Will Smith dressed up in blue and embarrassing himself.
I think most people, myself included, are expecting a live action version of the movie. I think that's what
people
expecting.
Are. So there are some songs that are missing. There are some new songs. There are characters who are missing. Like I believe Iago, you know, is not in the movie. Instead, there's Jafar has a human sidekick who's from the Broadway musical. And so people might be off put from that. He kind of has his own little LaFoe character. And I don't know, just nothing about it looked appealing or sounded appealing. And so I just skipped out on it, you know?
All right. Well, I think that, I'm not invested in Aladdin. It's not one of my beloved movies. Just like I was talking with Zach earlier, Lion King really isn't a beloved movie for me. But I don't want to see him bomb. I hope it doesn't bomb. But
well,
you know,
yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where if they bomb, maybe Disney will stop doing live action remakes of every single animated movie that they have in their canon. And,
right.
But they'll find something else to do that's probably equally bad. So, I mean, remember when they were making direct-to-DVD sequels to all their classics? And they did that for like 10 years until they stopped making money, and so they finally quit.
They finally stopped doing
it. And so now they're finding the next things. They're going to do live-action remakes of everything. Like, they've already announced Sword in the Stone. They've already announced Little
live
Mermaid.
Live-action Sword in the Stone.
Yeah.
Well, Sword in the Stone is actually an adaptation of I've got the book at home.
It's Once and Future King.
Once and Future King.
I mean, that's the thing, though. If you do a live-action Sword in the Stone, there's already been a bunch of King Arthur movies, though. You know? So you can do it. So that's what Disney's doing, though. When they did, their live-action adaptation of the Jungle Book, they didn't adapt the Kipling Jungle Book. They adapted their cartoon of the Kipling. So when you go to see a Disney's Sword in the Stone, it's not an adaptation of the Once and Future King. It's an adaptation of the cartoon Sword in the Stone. But do we really need it? Do we really want it? Did anybody ask for it? I mean, there's going to be there's a live action Lady and the Tramp that they just did a poster that they released.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah, and it's just going to be live action dogs, you know, walking around doing dog stuff. And
I wonder why they. I mean, because I can see the meetings. They're like, we got to chase the live action dollar. Like, what is it that...
Well, they're doing everything.
Yeah, what makes them think that live action is the
Because the last bunch made a lot of money. Jungle Book made a lot of money.
Did it make
Cinderella
money?
Made a lot of money.
Now,
I
got to say, I enjoyed the Cinderella live action.
So I thought it was good, too.
It surprised me, but I enjoyed it.
There was a Kenneth Branagh did that one, right? Yeah. And now I'll say that it's not my kind of movie, but I enjoyed it. I could watch it and objectively tell it was a good movie. So if you go back and you watch the animated Cinderella, and I'm sorry if this is hearsay... It is 80% Tom and Jerry hijinks and 20% pretty princesses and princes.
Yeah, the way we remember things is not
very
necessarily
different.
Our headcanon, as they call it,
exactly.
can be different.
Yeah, our Berenstain universe kind of thing. We remember Cinderella as being this movie about, you know, a beautiful princess and her fairy godmother, but you go back and you watch it and it's just this cat and mouse for, you know, most of the movie. The Kenneth Branagh version, the live action one, I in a way, I think it improved on the animated film because it cut down the cat and mouse stuff, and it gave more story and more personality to Cinderella and the prince, whose name I can't even remember because he had so little personality in the cartoon.
Right.
And they and
wasn't just Prince Charming.
No, Prince Charming's from Snow White.
Prince Charming's the one that gives the kiss.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Okay. So I can't even remember this guy's name. But
are you
they
talking
gave
about
him,
Cinderella.
Yeah.
Is it Gaston?
Gaston's the bad guy from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay. Now I'll get those two mixed up. Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember the name.
But
of
he finds love at the end of the live action Beauty and the Beast.
Of the live action one, he doesn't fall off into the moat and die.
I thought he found love.
Well, he found
there was a sidekick that.
Oh, he had a LaFoe. He
wasn't there like a real subtle.
So, no, it wasn't subtle at all. So in the now in the cartoon he had this like this sidekick named LaFoe who just kind of followed him around everywhere, and he's like his yes man. And then in the live action remake, to
that's
be
right,
woke,
LaFoe dances.
He's a little midget guy who's the comedy relief dude. And then in the live action remake, they decided to get woke and make him like a homosexual character infatuated with Gaston, and it was stupid. But
so all of the movie makers could high five each other.
Yeah,
with
pretty
how
much.
Woke they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what other live action movies has Disney announced? So they announced Sword in the Stone. They've got Lady and the Tramp, which I think is coming next. They announced Little Mermaid. And they announced, they announced another one. I think they announced Robin Hood, which is weird because that one is fox people and bird and bear people. So are they just going to do it with humans?
Strange.
Yeah.
I remember watching the live action Jungle Book, and I was like, oh, it's pretty cool.
I enjoyed
and,
that.
And
one.
I thought that the I don't know if it's animation. I don't know how they do the animal. I don't know if it's real animals and then
they
just make
their
mouths.
Oh, it's not. So that one, the only live action thing in that entire movie was Mowgli, the actor playing Mowgli. And all the plants, all the scenery was all CG because everything was filmed in a green screen.
I did not know
that's correct.
Yep. And the animals are all CG. So that's kind of why people are kind of making fun of this supposed live action Lion King remake, because it's not live action. It's all CG animals. So and CG environments, so it's a CG animated remake of the animated Lion King.
Wow!
It doesn't mean it'll be bad. It might actually be quite good. Yeah. You never know.
I hope
well,
so.
Well, I'll tell you what. I went to it's one of those movies. I went out with Sheila. I think it was a few years. Whenever Cinderella came out, we saw it in the theaters, and you know we had a babysitter for Justice. And we were just coming out of that like 2 year vortex after you have a baby where you do nothing, and I think it was one of her first movies. So I was like, you want to go see Cinderella? Because that would be nice for Sheila and all that. And we got, and I remember being pleasantly surprised. I'm like, this is pretty good. You know, the Lion King one, or not Lion King one, the Jungle Book one.
Yeah.
I think we watched it because it was like free on Netflix or something. I can't remember what the deal was. And it was cool.
I liked
it.
I mean, I like Christopher Walken.
I liked the monkey stuff.
King Louis.
Yeah,
and Christopher Walken as King Louis was great. And I actually liked Scarlett Johansson as Ka. And that was actually a gender swap. Ka was male in the old movie, and they made him into a girl. But he was a really effeminate male in the old one. He was voiced by Sterling Holloway doing his Winnie the Pooh voice. So it was very effeminate. So turning him into a female for the new movie, you almost didn't even notice.
Speaking of, did you see Christopher Robin with the live action Pooh
stuff? I did. So I actually borrowed the Blu-ray from Tim a few months ago. So I missed it completely when it was in theaters. Mm-hmm. And I watched it. And I thought it was pretty good, actually. It's
It was pretty good.
It was kind of dark and a little depressing.
There was a little dark. The scene where they go back to the 100-acre wood and Christopher Robin all grown up, it's kind of like Hook. You know, he's all grown up and forgotten that, how to be a kid.
Yeah. So it strikes this weird balance where the 100-acre woods is a real place. He didn't just imagine it, and the Pooh characters, the stuffed animal characters, were all real and alive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was almost like another universe he still created with his mind. And those characters ceased existing when he forgot about his childhood, but they came back to life when he remembered. But it was still a place that he could go to and take his family to. It was the premise was a little strange.
It's
kind of like there was two separate drafts, and they didn't quite figure out how to rewrite them. In one draft, they were all imaginary and in his head. And another draft, it was another universe full of, you know, cartoon characters.
Right.
And then in a third draft, they tried to harmonize it and didn't quite seal the deal.
Overall, I liked it. Mm-hmm. I liked live action Pooh. I love Pooh. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that I like.
Oh, who doesn't like Winnie the Pooh?
Right, Winnie the Pooh. Like, I'm a big Peanuts guy. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Winnie the Pooh. I always go back to those characters when I just want real sweet, wholesome but not overly saccharine.
Yeah, no,
right?
Charming is the word charming. I use for Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, very charming, very... there's that innocent, humble wisdom in it, you know, and all that. So, yeah. Anyway, all right, I got to get us to a break. When we come back, the rest of the show, we're going to be talking movies, maybe if we get a chance, cult movies and horror movies. One of the reasons I want to have Mark on, he is a walking geek cyclopedia of pop culture. So he could talk about just about anything and it'll be fun. And we're also going to get an update on what the heck is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles creator Kevin Eastman up to these days when we come back on 101.1 FM, The Answer. All right, we're back on the Dave Elswick Show. This is Shane Stack setting in for, but never replacing, Mr. Elswick. He'll be back with you on Tuesdays off on a super secret Captain America mission, punching bad guys in the jaw, joined by one of my favorite pop culture geeky people. And he just happens to be right here in Little Rock. He's a local comic book writer. Often works with Timothy Lim, and all of his stuff is great. But he's also, he just knows so much about various things of pop culture. I just love talking to Mark. But we're going to get into movies and stuff a little bit more later in the show. We talked before the break. We were talking about a Disney live action and this, that, and the other. And, you know, had a good discussion on that. But I know you're a big Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan.
Yeah.
Like, huge.
Not proud, but yes.
You got that. You've got, how long have you kept that blog up?
10 years this year. So, yeah, no, it was a 10-year anniversary. I've had to slow down on it because now that I'm getting paid to write stuff, I've got to prioritize that. But, yeah, I had a TMNT entity, which is my website, which I ran for 10 years and is full of... basically, if you ever want to read a summary of every single Ninja Turtles comic book ever written, then you can visit my site and bore yourself to tears.
Okay, you have seen the new Batman
versus TMNT.
Now, yeah. I read the first miniseries and it was really enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Did it follow that storyline?
So, it's interesting. So it is a loose adaptation of the Batman TMNT miniseries, the first volume, but it only takes the premise of it and then otherwise does a better job of telling that story. So like the act structure and beats are there. You know, Batman meets the TMNT because they come to Gotham City. The Ninja Turtles fight Batman, but then they go to the Batcave and become friends. Then they go to Arkham Asylum and fight a bunch of mutant Batman villains. And then they fight the team up between the Shredder and Ra's al Ghul. So like those basic story beats are there, but how they get from A to B and all the characterizations and all the dialogue is completely original. And honestly, it's a lot better than the miniseries, which I thought the miniseries was good.
Is it Bruce Timm involved? Who's involved?
Bruce Timm's the producer. The director is, I can't recall his name, but he's the guy who directed the most recent ones like Justice League versus the Fatal Five and ones like that.
Now, what's the animation style?
The animation style, so it was outsourced to South Korea by a studio. I didn't recognize when I saw their name, but they did a very good job. And the animation style is not anime by any means, but it's kind of a westernized version. It's the animation's very good. So this is a co-production between Warner Brothers and Viacom. So there's some extra money involved.
Oh, okay.
So the production values are actually quite a bit higher than the last few DC Comics straight to DVD movies, and it looks very good. The movie, for all you parents who are interested in, you know, letting your kids watch it, it is a PG-13 rated. Mm-hmm. There's a bit of blood, and there's some very light cursing. Very light cursing, but there is some, so if you're concerned about that. But the movie it's good action. It flows really well. And it's unlike a lot of the other DC animated movies, it knows that this is Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so it's lighter in tone
and it has more fun,
and it's not so grim and serious.
Now, in the first miniseries, which was a IDW...
It was an IDW and DC co-production.
Because I think IDW has the current
license to do the comics.
And ironically, even though... Kevin Eastman doesn't own the property anymore. He's been coming up. They've hired him to come back, and he's worked on the news.
Yeah, so he's one of the, not story editors, but he's one of the plotters on IDW's Ninja Turtles comic. He, Bobby Curnow, and Tom Waltz are the three main folks on it. So he is involved in telling the stories. Peter Laird, the other creator of the Ninja Turtles, has retired. He actually finally retired from Mirage Studio, period. He no longer goes into the studio, and the studio basically just mails out comics from their back catalog now. Yeah, so he's done.
Well, I had Kevin Eastman. I was you know, lucky enough to get him on Shane Plays about a year ago.
Oh, wow.
And he was kickstarting a project, and I brought in some of that stuff today. And he did this, and he's doing it as a single-issue series now that you can get at comic book shops. But what I kickstarted is I got a graphic novel, and it's called Drawing Blood.
I've heard of that.
And yes. What it is he created this fictional character called Shane Bookman. And it talks about all this crazy stuff. This Shane Bookman guy creates an independent comic that goes to the roof, and then he ends up, you know, losing the property.
So it's autobiographical.
Yeah, sort of, loosely. Yeah. But up to the point where, like, it one thing, like, Shane, you know, Shane Bookman finds himself in an alley holding a pistol, you know, to
okay,
be
maybe,
like,
maybe a little dramatized.
Yeah,
but,
so,
yeah.
I mean, literally, there's, like, yeah. He's like muscle on a drug deal, you know.
Yeah.
And Kevin Eastman basically said that this is a synthesis of his experience plus stories he's heard at comic book conventions after later at night in the bar.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of the stuff may not necessarily be literally true, but it's kind of true.
Well,
right?
I mean, the story of how Eastman and right. Laird created the Ninja Turtles, how they kept ownership of it, and the various fights that they had to have legally to keep ownership of
right.
it in itself is really fascinating.
Well, he ended up just selling it, right?
Well, so what yep. happened was he ended up selling his ownership of it to Peter Laird.
Yep.
And then Peter Laird sold it to Viacom. So, but that was in the, geez, that was 2007.
Now, what
was
Peter Laird the artist and Kevin Eastman the writer?
So actually, there is no distinction for yeah. creatively. So they both co-wrote, co-drew, and co-inked and co-lettered. They did everything 50-50 because they were both creatively well-rounded, so they could interlace.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
So, and a lot of people don't know TMNT when it first came out was a grim and gritty.
Yeah.
It was gritty before gritty was a
yeah.
thing.
It was originally a parody yeah. of Daredevil.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Is that where the size came from because of Elektra and all that?
Yeah, the size came from Elektra. It was a parody of Frank Miller in general. So if you look at the original logo for Ninja Turtles, it looks just like the logo for Ronin.
I didn't know that.
And if another thing is that
this is why we like Mark Pellegrini.
Well,
he knows everything.
Their origin actually is Daredevil's origin, so
it gets radioactive yeah. stuff spilled
yep, so,
on
yeah. yeah. They even say that the canister, a boy knocks a blind man out of the way, the canister of chemicals falls off the truck and hits the boy in the eyes, and then it rolls into the sewers and creates Ninja Turtles. So they're technically part of Daredevil's origin.
Oh, how
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
I had no idea that I didn't even know that. So we're about to get to a break. During the break, I've got something for you.
Oh, cool.
And then I want to talk about it when we come back from the grave. And it's Kevin Eastman being derivative of himself. And we'll talk about it more when we get back from the break. What do we got, Zach? How much time we got? We got 25 seconds, 20 seconds. Okay. Yeah. So when we come back, we'll talk more about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kevin Eastman, what he's up to these days, and hopefully get into talking about just some movies and stuff.
Cool.
So from now until 6 o'clock with Mark Pellegrini here on the Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 FM, The Answer. So, hey, welcome back to the Dave Elswick Show. I'm joined by Mark Pellegrini, who is local comic book writer. We'll take before the show ends today. I'll let him kind of give us an update on his comics projects. I'm Shane Stack, sitting in for but never replacing Mr. Elswick. It is 5:35 in the Little Rock, Central Arkansas, and Arkansas area in general. Folks, remember, the Arkansas River is going to be flooding like crazy this weekend. Please be smart and stay off the river. Like, everybody's asking people, Game and Fish Commission, Corps of Engineers, everybody, you know, go to a lake. You know, give the river a pass this weekend if you can. And I know it's Memorial Day. I get it. So if you want to call in, it's 501-823-0965. I'm going to throw out a little bit of Memorial Day trivia here. I've been wanting to do that for the show. I did a lot of it last year when I guest hosted for Dave on Memorial Day, but I'm just going to throw this out real quick, and then we're going to get back into talking about one of Mark's favorite subjects, which is Kevin Eastman's anthropomorphic animal humanoid hybrids that use Japanese weapons. So and no, we're not talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We got something else to talk about. It's the newest thing from Kevin Eastman and his crew here. So here's some facts on Memorial Day. It's been celebrated for a long time in various forms, all the way back to after the Civil War, starting in 1865. But, Mark, do you want to take a wild stab at what year it became an official federal holiday?
Now, Memorial Day?
It was celebrated in states all over
the
place.
Yeah, but when it was actually legit
on
the calendar.
When it became a federal holiday.
I'm going to guess that it's not as old federally as we think it is then. So let me lowball. I'll say 1975.
Pretty good. 1971.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So, again, not as far back as people think, but there were. That's when it unified into one.
Well,
big,
it's like
right.
Thanksgiving wasn't a federal holiday until like the early 1900s.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. But in 1971, it suddenly became a bank holiday and all that. Mm-hmm. I assume so. And of course, this year Monday is Memorial Day. It's not just a day to have burgers and go to the lake. There's nothing wrong with those things, but it's to remember. Those that have died or been severely wounded or lost something. You know, not amputee, you know, missing limbs or mentally hurt in war or in the armed services.
Those
you know,
who gave some
us.
Or those who gave all.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly. So Veterans Day, and a lot of people get these confused, not because they're trying to be rude, but just Veterans Day is the day you honor living veterans or veterans in your family history or whatever. Memorial Day is specifically to remember those who gave, like you said, some gave. All gave some gave all. But yeah, it started as early after the Civil War. By the late 1860s, there were a lot of springtime tributes to, you know, going to graves and this and sort of and it kind of grew from there. Now, here's one other piece of trivia here. Did you know each year on Memorial Day? And I don't think I remembered this. I think I have to remember it every year when I read it. A national moment of remembrance takes place at 3 p.m. local time. So I'm sure a lot of veteran cemeteries and stuff like that get busy at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day. And then, you know, you'll see a lot of flags out there and stuff like that. And then in 1966, so 5 years before it became an official holiday, the federal government declared Waterloo, New York, the official birthplace of Memorial Day, even though it's kind of unclear who it, you know, but they did it in May 5th, 1866, and that was the furthest back anybody could research official records. So, I don't have anybody in my direct family that lost their lives in the war or anything like that, but being a veteran, I know people who have. So, you know, I enjoy Memorial Day. I eat my burger and all that, but there's some somberness to it too for me. How about you? Is there anybody you want to remember?
Well,
anything?
So, I've been to three funerals at Arlington. So a lot of my my family have been buried there, and a lot of my family in the past were military. My uncle on my dad's side is buried in Arlington, David Pellegrini, and he's actually buried right across from Audie Murphy. So a lot of people see his grave when they go to visit Audie Murphy and don't even know it.
That's really cool. We don't have time to get into it now, but there's two war heroes I can think of off the top of my head I want people to go read about. One is Audie Murphy, mind-blowing story. And the other one, Hamburger, the guy who wouldn't fight, like he wanted to be a medical guy. They made a movie about him a few years ago.
Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Everyone thought he was a coward because he wouldn't fight, but he just objected to using a weapon, but he was fine being a corpsman, a medical guy. And he saved a lot of people, like showed bravery that, you know, so anyway,
I got a name.
What's that?
Desmond Doss.
Okay. Tell us about Desmond.
That's the guy who you're talking about.
Oh, the guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Desmond Doss for Hacksaw Ridge. And then Audie Murphy is just a mind-blowing, like if it wasn't true, you'd be like, there's no way this is true, but there's too many facts to back it up. So so before the break, and when we come back from break, I want to get an update from Mark on any comic book projects he's currently working on and any, you know, cult movies or horror movies he recommends if we have time for that. But so for the next 5 or 6 minutes, the thing I gave to Mark during the break, because I knew he would love it, is Kevin Eastman is being derivative of himself, which is ironic.
Self-plagiarism, I think, is the term for it.
He's self-plagiarism. and with a little bit of a wink and a smile, because in which makes it really funny is the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was derivative in a way of
Ronin and X-Men and Daredevil especially. Yeah.
Right, Frank Miller's Daredevil and Ronin. And who was doing X-Men at the time? Was it Claremont and Byrne?
Still Claremont and Byrne, I think, in 84.
One of the best team-ups in the history of comics, but in my opinion. X-Men's actually pretty good right now. Matthew Rosenberg's writing it.
Oh, is it? They relaunched it and they did
it. It's not bad.
It's hard to keep track with all the relaunches.
Yeah,
though,
it's actually, there's a lot of books that are feeling like the 80s right now. Mm. Matthew Rosenberg's X-Men and his Punisher. Dude, Punisher has not been this good since the 80s.
Well, Punisher, so personally, I think the best run on Punisher was Garth Ennis, which was from the
It's hard to argue with. Yeah. And that was good.
But there is good ones. Like, so Mike Zeck, Circle of Blood, that one's from the 80s. That's an excellent run on Punisher.
It reads a lot like it reads a lot like Mike Zeck's Punisher.
Okay.
Good. And it's really good. And then, Garth Ennis's run on Punisher was good, but it read like Garth Ennis's run on Punisher,
It's so, he did write the definitive kind of, in his way, version of Frank, but it's very much the Garth Ennis's version of Frank.
Well,
and
Garth
the way
Ennis
that,
is, I love Garth Ennis.
Oh, yeah, no, it's really good. Like, he also did, you know, Nick Fury. He did his run on Nick
Fury
for Max.
Did you read Hitman?
I've read some of Hitman.
The whole Hitman.
Hitman's very funny.
I was reading Hitman and Preacher at the same time, and...
You're getting a Garth overload.
Hitman was so good. He did the last thing I've read of Garth Ennis is he did his version of, was it Wacky Racers, Dick Dastardly, something?
Oh, that wasn't Garth Ennis.
Well, no, it was. I'll look it up.
I'm thinking of Wacky Raceland, which was during the DC Hanna-Barbera revival.
Yeah, no,
revival,
this is something slightly different. Yeah. Anyway, I'll look it up.
Okay.
But he did it was basically if cartoon physics and craziness started happening in the real world.
Oh, okay.
And it ended on, there was a cartoon where Dick Dastardly and Muttley, they were like flying around in planes.
Dick Dastardly and Muttley and their flying machines.
That was it. And so it was very heavily in, but anyway, the Wacky Raceland thing that DC did was like a Mad Max version of it.
It was a post-apocalyptic Mad Max.
And Dick Dastardly was truly Dick Dastardly.
Yeah.
So, back to this. So we talked a little bit earlier that Kevin Eastman kickstarted means crowdfunding, a project called Drawing Blood, which was a semi-autobiographical graphic novel about a guy who creates a property, independent comic. It gets ridiculously big overnight. He gets famous too quickly, ends up losing it, and spirals down, but then comes back. And the property in Drawing Blood is called the Radically Rearranged Ronin Ragdolls. Okay. And so that was the property that the fictional character of Shane Bookman lost, who is sort of an analog of Kevin Eastman. Yeah. Sort of. Now, what's interesting is if you go on Twitter, there's a Shane Bookman Twitter account, which they tweet from it as if Shane Bookman is a real person.
Role plays.
Yeah, it's fun. But what they did this week in comic book shops on New Comic Book Day, New Comic Book Day is Wednesdays these days, folks, on the pretty much the 35th anniversary of the first time that they shipped Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they shipped Shane and Paul Bookman's Radically Rearranged Ronin Ragdoll. So, which I've read, I liked it. I mean, it's derivative, but it's its own thing.
It's satirical, it sounds
satirical, but it's also, I could see this becoming its own property. So I know you haven't read it yet. Yeah. I gave you a copy. What do you think, just kind of looking through it?
Well, so I've read, so it's funny. There were back in the 80s once Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was
there was a whole cottage
industry. Oh yeah, and they all had similar titles. There was like Mean Green Dirty Gene Kung Fu
there
Kangaroos.
There was Adolescent Radioactive Black Belt Hamsters.
Black Belt Hamsters, and there were more. There was like Rock and Roll and Minor Ants.
Yeah.
And I mean, I actually started collecting these ones. There's one about Jiu-Jitsu Gerbils, and I can't even remember the full title.
There's
a million
so many
of them. There's one about hamsters, and they all have the same, you know, four-word title scheme. And so this is Kevin Eastman doing a spoof on the spoof of his property, which we, as we already discussed, was a spoof on Daredevil. So you got this telephone game.
Isn't it great?
That finally made it back to Kevin Eastman. And now you get to see his version. So I'm really looking forward to reading it. I mean, so I see the cover art of the version you gave me is by Ben Bishop, who's actually one of the main artists on IDW's Ninja Turtles comic, and he's really good.
Yeah, you had a choice between him and Troy Little.
Troy, if you're listening,
it's okay. We still love you.
Oh, no, I'm looking at his interior art right now, and he's actually very good. The art looks fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm interested in checking
the cover you went for is more evocative of the original gritty.
Both of them are evocative because the one you have is actually, it's in color, but it's a parody of the posing on the layout on the original. And the one that I have here is black and white, so maybe it feels more authentic that way, but it's an original composition. Right. So, you know, it's one or the other, and they're both quite good.
So I have to ask you this, and people I know that, I don't know if the camera can see.
Is this a Highlander reference?
There could be only one.
Silver Cup Studios is what they're standing in front of.
Yeah, what is that?
Silver Cup Studios is, if you watch the original Highlander, that's where the final battle between the Kurgan and...
What are they trying to tell me there?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, and that's actually where Sesame Street was filmed, of all things,
Silver Cup Studios.
Yeah, so it's in Queens, New York.
So the wraparound cover on Radically, this is a real comic book, and it's actually... played more straight than you might expect.
Oh yeah, no.
It's a good read, and I could see this becoming its own thing, which I'm sure Kevin Eastman would kind of hope to have happen.
I mean, the original Ninja Turtles comic is played very straight, regardless of how silly the premise is.
But there's on the cover, there's a wraparound cover where they're standing in front of the sign that's basically saying Silver Cup Studios, which once again, Mark Pellegrini, the walking Geekopedia, immediately knew what that was about. I'm going to get us to a break. And you can go to, there's several comic book shops in the area, folks. I mean, they're not paying for advertising on the Dave Elswick Show, but you can go to the comic book shop in Little Rock. You can go to the collector's edition in North Little Rock, and you can go to Kapow Comics in Sherwood, just to name a few. But there's a comic book locator website. Go find it. And this is out. You can go get your own copy of Radically Rearranged Ronin Ragdolls. I have a feeling it might go somewhere. It reads pretty solid. And Kevin Eastman is there. It sounds like they're going to start shipping comics from their own studio, to comic book shops and everything. Okay. I'm going to get us to a break. When we come back, we'll have roughly about 10 minutes so Mark can update us on his current comic book projects, maybe any obscure movies he recommends, et cetera, that we have time to talk about right here on the Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 FM The Answer.
And I already pledged Earthworm Jim.
Hey, welcome back to the Dave Elswick Show. We're in our final few minutes. I can't believe it. It's already almost 6 o'clock. Folks, have a fun and safe Memorial Day weekend. Remember those that gave some, some literally gave all. And Mark was talking about he's been to more than one funeral at Arlington Cemetery. So, and I personally, having served, I know people who are gone, they're gone. So, So enjoy your burger, enjoy your steak, enjoy whatever it is you do. But remember, it is Memorial Day, and let's at least remember some of those folks. So in the time we have left, I got about 6 minutes or so. Update us on what you're working on right now, because I want to remind folks, this is Mark Pellegrini. He is a comic book writer, and he's doing some real cool projects.
Oh, well, so I just finished the script for Black Ops Hair Trigger. That's the one I'm doing with Timothy Lim and Matt Weldon. He's the artist who works on Punchline. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I haven't read it. No, I take that. Mm-hmm. I got the Free Comic Book Day
version of it. Oh, good. Yeah, I picked that one up, too. No, and Matt is incredible. He's also he's a machine. I mean, he's knocking pages out left and right.
I love his costume design for Punchline.
Oh, yeah.
Because you immediately get what she's about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he's so Black Ops Hair Trigger is a 64-page graphic novel. He's doing a half of it, and Tim is doing the other half.
Oh, I thought it was all well. Is it telling two different stories?
It's going to be split in two of two separate stories plus an 8-page backup. Matt is doing the B story, the B half, and he's doing the backup, and Tim is doing the A half. So the A half is follows.
So we get Tim and Mark. Tim and Matt.
Yep. Yeah. So the A half follows USAGI, and then the B half follows Patriotter, who's a new character, and then the 8-page backup follows Penelope, who's the human character we introduced in the first volume. So, and we're going to launch our campaign on that this summer. We've already completed our campaign on Walmite First Term Part 2, and that's going to start shipping soon. And I'm working on a new project right now with Eric Taylor.
Now, who's Eric Taylor?
Eric Taylor, he runs Invasion Media, which is kind of like a talent agency. So he gets a lot of artists, and he takes them to cons around the country. And so we've known him for years, and he's wanted to do a project.
Was he out at Little Rock Comic Con with you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yep. He does a lot of shows with
him.
Yeah. So we're working on one. The tentative title right now is Dark New World, Roanoke. So it's going to be a horror story.
Roanoke, Virginia?
Yep. So it's going to be a horror story about the settlers of Roanoke, Virginia, specifically two of them who are old world monsters from the old world. Alden, who is a vampire, and Brinley, who's a witch.
But their personalities, they're not just monsters.
Yeah, they're not just monsters. Now, they're corrupt personalities. They've come to the new world because they want to basically start in a fresh place. But they find once they get there that there are worse things in this new world than themselves.
Ooh.
And it's a genre I've kind of
wanted to. So is it like a turf war between monsters?
Sort of, yeah. It's basically they don't really know what's out there, and they underestimated what's there waiting for them. And so they've got to try and, one, they've got to basically keep themselves, under the radar with the rest of the Roanoke colony. But they also have to face these skinwalkers and Wendigos and other things that are
Wendigos.
Much, much worse.
Oh, so I have to ask this. I'm not trying to give anything away. But where my brain goes, if I was plotting this, do they get put into a situation where they have to protect some of the townsfolk?
I'm not going to give anything away.
That's where my brain
would go. So they're kind of their own unique faction.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a tense horror story. We want to go for something similar to like The Witch, you know? So one of the aspects of just colonial horror, I feel, is an untapped sort of market for horror.
Well,
because
it's ripe with atmosphere, though.
It is.
There's so much.
That's the thing. Yeah. Is, imagine you're a settler and you just landed on Plymouth Rock, and you have no idea what's on the other side of those trees. You don't know how far back those trees go. You don't know how big this continent is. You don't know
what lives there. Yeah.
I mean, there's new animals you've never heard of. There's new plants you've never heard of and seen or imagined. There are races of people that could be anything, any size, shape, or color. And so it is all just a complete mystery on the other side of those trees.
Also, atmospherically, now I'm a Christian. There was some applications of Christianity in the early colonies and stuff that were pretty severe and could be atmospheric of their own. So, the Salem witch trials being just one example, but yeah, that sounds great. So is that crowdfunded, or what are we looking at?
We're going to Indiegogo crowdfund that one as well. We want to have that one launched to tie in with Halloween.
And you've got a supporter
here
already.
So, this one, we're working on the script. So then we should have an artist to announce soon.
Sweet.
And that one will be ready to go. And that's
I can draw
project.
Stick figures.
Oh, great.
I'll put little fangs on the vampire.
So can I, yeah.
And I'll just draw a really tall stick figure for the Wendigo. So that's great, man. And there's also... what was the other project that you and Tim were? America?
Common America. That one's going to be for next year, and that one's going to be our superheroine faux manga, faux comic storyline. That's going to be a spinoff from Walmite.
Okay, and that's great. Yeah, Walmite's a lot of fun.
It's not going to be political.
Walmite is very parody, satirical.
Yes.
Pretty political, but.
So Walmite's a political satire. Common America is going to be a satire of comic books and anime and manga and cartoons, and it's going to be divorced from politics. It's something anybody can enjoy.
And Black Hops is a rabbit that has superpowers that goes on Black Ops missions, but played straight.
Yes.
And it's amazing. And you've got the best new, you know how like Batman held up the thing and Robin jumped through it and it said the best character find of 2019 is the turtle named Rigger Tortoise.
Yes. So we got two new characters for Black Ops Hair Trigger. We have Patrioter and we have Rigger Tortoise. And so I think people are going to have to decide which one they like better, because I like Rigger Tortoise. Tim likes Patrioter.
I like them all, but I am team Rigger Tortoise already.
And these aren't just for people curious who haven't read our first volume of Black Ops. These aren't talking animals. These aren't Bugs Bunny. These are normal animals who have normal animal mannerisms, but they just happen to be able to fight.
And the very first Black Ops has the first rabbit propelled grenade RPG. Okay, we got 40 seconds left. Mark, as always, always enjoy talking to you, man. I'm looking forward to having you either on this show again or Shane Plays. And then I think I mentioned I'm interviewing Doug Tenable.
Doug Tenable. So by the way, real quick, everybody,
right, we got about
support
20
the
seconds.
Doug Tenable, the creator of Earthworm Jim. He's got a Earthworm Jim graphic novel. It's on Indiegogo. Check it out. It looks fantastic. I've already supported it.
Yeah, and Edwin Boyette and Mitch Breitweiser both introduced me. And so I'm recording with him tomorrow for a show in a couple of weeks.
He's a fascinating
gentleman. All right, I got 10 seconds. Dave Elswick, thank you so much for allowing me to guest host. Everybody have a safe weekend. And like Dave says, God gave you your whole life. Give him an hour on Sunday.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.